the Fountain Trust Company, BJ's Electronics in Rockville, Mike's Motor Company in Clinton, Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company, Crown Hill Dentistry in Clinton, Jack's Crash Service in Greencastle, Charlie's Place in Dana, Hawkins Car Wash in Rockville, Rick's Auto Service in Rockville, Ferguson Chiropractic in Rockville, Sean Lucas, Tom Stambaugh, and Joe Hanner from Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance in Rockville, and the Rockville and Clinton IGA stores. Now, join Scott Jones and Jim Foster for live coverage of Rockville Regional Baseball action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com. Rockville, Clinton, a DLC Media radio station.
Good evening, Rocks fans. Welcome back to Carroll High School in Florida, Indiana, for the championship game of the Carroll Class 1A Baseball Regional. Rockville advances to tonight's championship game via 10-0 five-inning victory this morning over Blue River Valley in Game 1. Game 2 was won by the Daleville Broncos 6-1 over host Carroll of Florida. So that's the Florida. Over host Carroll of Flora. So that sets up tonight's championship game between the Rocks and the Daleville Broncos coming your way in about 10 or 12 minutes. And Rockville will be the visitors, a flip-flop from this morning where they were the home team. So Rockville will have their first crack at the at-bat as the coaches and umpires meet at home plate for some final instructions and to go over ground rules. But Jim Foster, a great day for baseball and softball in the Wabash Valley is a lot of success around the valley. We'll talk about that as we have time, but Rockville awfully impressive this morning defensively on the mound with Laney and, of course, getting contributions all throughout the order at the plate in that 10-0 win.
Well, it was a very good win and just a workmanlike way of going to business this morning by the Rocks. Took care of things early and often and put the game away in five innings. We stayed around and watched about two and a half innings of the second contest, and quite honestly, we were a bit surprised when we learned that Daleville had ended up winning the ball game 6-1. We felt like Carroll might have been a bit stronger, at least early in the contest, but a nice last 3 to 4 innings for this Daleville ball club. I think what's interesting is, as we take a look at some of the statistics of the team, the people on the mound weren't really the people we thought that we might see in tonight's contest. We have a junior on the mound, Elliot Jackson, for Daleville. He comes into tonight's contest with a 2-0 record, 2.21 ERA. He's only pitched 19 innings on the year, Scott. Now, we don't know if maybe injury might have been part of that. The interesting thing, the thing that really jumped out to you and I, was his strikeout-to-walk ratio. He has more walks on the year than he does strikeouts, 16 strikeouts to 19 walks. And we know that the top of that Rockville lineup, that's a job of working counts and trying to get deep in the count to get on base any way possible.
I know that you can hear the PA prominently in the background, one of the shirtless references that will go away once the starting lineups are introduced. Back to your point, Jim, I got to think that at some point in this season, Elliot Jackson did suffer a lengthy injury that limited his capability to pitch. For him to be a starting pitcher on a stage of this magnitude really leads me to believe that he's much more talented than his statistics lead you to believe, and that he would have had better stats and, of course, more had he been available throughout the season. But you're right, they have some guys much more impressive ERAs, much more innings lost that have not thrown at all today. As we were told, Daleville went through three pitchers in that 6-1 victory in the morning game. If he's pitching in this type of game, his coach has a lot of faith in him, as his teammates, and Rockville will have to be ready in the box.
I take any time to talk about single-A baseball, Scott. When you're playing two games in one day, you're going to be tested from your pitching depth standpoint. That's very well going to be the case for Rockville on the mound here in the second game. We've kind of speculated as to who we might see as pitching the call in the championship game of the regional. It's going to be Caleb Hunter. Caleb comes into the night's contest with a 6-1 record, a 1.41 ERA, 65 strikeouts to 29 walks. Statistics very, very impressive. I think the one thing that you're probably a little bit concerned about is his control on the mound and a little bit of a higher ratio in terms of strikeouts to walks. Throwing strikes early, getting ahead of the count, this is going to be critical for Caleb in this ballgame.
And when you're talking about a pitcher that sometimes battles control issues, adrenaline in a game of this magnitude early on, those first three or four hitters, getting those first three outs is going to be huge for Husker. The quicker he can get a couple outs under his belt, the quicker he'll settle down and get into a groove. We know he has tremendous stuff. He's had a lot of success this season. There's no doubt that he's a guy capable of going out and getting a win against this caliber of competition for the Rocks to lead them to a semi-state next Saturday against Kokomo or Plymouth. Early on, you would expect not necessarily jitters, just maybe a little bit too much on the fastball. He'll miss some spots early, but if he can get some guys to swing the bat early in town and help him out, get a couple of quick outs, I don't expect him to settle down very quickly.
Well, he averages over a strikeout per inning, and we'll get back to that. Ready for answer.
All right, well, we'll have our starting lineups for you in just a few minutes, but right now we're going to pause for a two-minute timeout as we honor America with our national anthem here on Truly 104.9 WASI.
Build tomorrow's technology today with Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company. We have the technology to provide our customers with quality home telephone service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No drop calls, no relying on towers and batteries. Plus, Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company is a true local internet service provider with a local technical support team available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Find out more. Bloomingdale Home Telephone, 498-2000.
Shine up your ride and show your pride at the ball game. Joe and Kathy Hawkins of Hawkins Car Wash behind Fifth Third Bank in Rockville hope you'll join in the excitement and show your spirit for your favorite players and team. Our young athletes work hard, and Joe and Kathy Hawkins are proud to be a sponsor of local high school sports. Hawkins Car Wash, cheering all area teams and sending big congratulations win or lose. Hawkins Car Wash, keeping it clean behind Fifth Third Bank in Rockville.
Charlie's Place in Dana cheers for all our local high schools at tournament time. Come taste the difference with homemade pizza crusts, salads, appetizers, pizzas, sandwiches, and more from the Brick Oven Bakery at Charlie's Place. Charlie's Place is also home to karaoke and live music. Entertainment starts at 6. Bring the family for dine-in and fun or call ahead for carryout. 765-665-0166. Charlie Jones is inviting everyone to his place, Charlie's Place. Open Wednesday and Thursday, 4 till 10. Friday and Saturday, 4 to midnight, behind First Security Insurance in Dana.
Crown Hill Dentistry. Dr. G. Thomas Cloyd and Brittany V. Gooding know that there are fears that often come between patients and the dental care needed. Fear of pain, judgment, and cost. Crown Hill Dentistry is completely committed to helping you and your family start a routine dental maintenance program today to avoid dental health issues tomorrow. Offering complete general cosmetic, sedation, and family dentistry for adults and children for over 30 years. Crown Hill Dentistry, across from Walmart in Clinton.
Welcome back to Carroll High School. We're just moments away from the first pitch of tonight's regional championship game between the Rockville Rocks and the Daleville Broncos. Rockville 25-6 on the season. The Broncos at 16-11. Let's go to Jim Foster for a look at the batting lineup for the visiting Rockville Rocks.
Rockville will go with the same lineup they went with this morning in terms of batting order. Leading off, playing center field, will be Ben Cunningham at shortstop, batting second, Kyle Paddock. Hitting in the third slot, this morning's winning pitcher. This afternoon, playing first base, Dalton Laney. In the cleanup spot, Craig Overpeck, playing third base, behind the plate, batting fifth, Tyler Rapp. On the mound for tonight's championship contest, as we mentioned, Caleb Huxford. He played right field in the opening contest. Keontre Wilkie, designated hitter in the opening game. He'll be in right field tonight, batting seventh, hitting eighth, playing second base, Kim Hilderman. And rounding out the lineup for the Rocks, Luke Monroe in left field.
We'll get you the batting lineup for Daleville in the bottom half of the inning, but defensively around the outfield, it'll be Horsley in right field, Maddox in center, Bivin in left. At first base is Vermillion, Stevens at second base, Price at shortstop, Whitmore at third base, and the battery, your pitcher, Elliot Jackson, and the catcher, Chris Kinnick. Cunningham digs in. The first pitch, we're underway as Ben Cunningham, who reached base and scored four times in this morning's game, takes a strike to start the ball game. 0-1 as Cunningham awaits the offering from Jackson, and he'll take strike two. As Jackson shows no signs of that control issues that we mentioned with his walk-to-strikeout ratio throughout the regular season, he fires two bullets to Cunningham. And Cunningham stays alive, fouling that one straight back. We look up the first baseline, Rockville, with a large crowd of support, as many fans have made the hour and 45-minute drive here to Carroll High School to root on their Rocks. As Cunningham awaits the 1-2 pitch. It is low off-speed pitch in the dirt. A ball now and two strikes.
We talked earlier about the number of times Cunningham has reached base by way of walk and being hit by pitch. So batting behind in the count, not something that he's not familiar with and comfortable with.
Another good eye there as Cunningham takes low once again. That'll even the count at two balls and two strikes. Kyle Paddock on deck as the 2-2 is on its way. This one is upstairs, and after falling behind 0-2 in the count, Ben Cunningham has worked the count full of three balls and two strikes.
Well, a good eye. And if you're on this side of the field, if you're devil, that's a pitch that you definitely want called as a strike.
The full count offering is lifted high in the air, shallow center field. It'll actually be the second baseman, Stevens, that goes back on it and makes the play for the first out of the ball game. So for the first time today, Ben Cunningham is retired. And it'll be Kyle Paddock who steps in for his first at-bat of game two.
Well, Paddock matched Cunningham in that first contest, Scott, by reaching base. And all four times at the plate, he had three singles and one base on ball.
Paddock takes a strike. It's quickly 0-1 to the Rockville shortstop. Big number seven on his back. He awaits the 0-1 pitch. Jackson delivers, and this one catches the outside corner. Jackson has started both of the Rockville hitters off 0-2. And at the high school level, that's the key to being a successful pitcher, is getting ahead in the count. The 0-2 pitch is upstairs and inside from ball one. As a little deceptive windup from Jackson, as he's got a little bit of a delay, kind of a hitch right at the bottom before he comes set. I can see that being somewhat of a timing issue for Rockville early on. And Paddock fouls that one back to stay alive.
I'm talking about pitching ahead in the count, Scott. It just gives you so many options on the mound as to what location that you can throw the ball in, the type of pitch. You definitely have an advantage over the hitter who's just trying to protect and put the ball in play.
Off-speed pitch came out of the hand a little awkward of Jackson. That one's well upstairs. It'll be two balls and two strikes now to Kyle Paddock. One out, bases empty, just underway, top half of the first. Scoreless ball game here from Carroll High School. The 2-2 pitch is swung on, lifted high out into center field. Routine play for Maddox. He is underneath it and puts it away for out number two. So here early on, Rockies making contact, but harmless contact so far, as Laney will bat with the bases empty.
Well, hitting the ball in the air this evening, the way the wind may be blowing a little harder than it was earlier today, it's going in from right field to us, if anything, a little right to left. But anything in the air is just going to hang up and going to give the fielders plenty of time to get under and catch the ball.
Dalton Laney, the winning pitcher in this morning's game, takes upstairs for ball one. And Jackson falls behind in the count for the first time today. Ball two, is that one is upstairs as well to Laney.
And I'm not so sure Jackson's game plan right now is to throw the ball in the high part of the strike zone and try to create pop-ups, knowing that anything hit in the air is really going to be nothing but easy fly balls here in this evening's championship game.
Laney way ahead in the count, 3-0 now, as all three offerings have been high. The 3-0 pitch looks low, but it catches the kneecap, and it's 3-1 to Laney.
And I like, the Daleville coach just tells the pitcher right there, they could put the ball in play and have trust in your fielder.
That was significantly low, but the umpire rings it up for strike two. Laney a couple of steps out of the box thinking he had earned a walk. I think maybe the umpire didn't appreciate that. As the count is now full, Laney pops it up. It should stay in play if anybody can get to it. The first baseman Vermillion is over, and he makes short work of that one. Three up, three down for the Rocks. After a half inning, we are scoreless. We'll go to the bottom half of the first here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
June is Dairy Month at your hometown proud IGA stores. Get half-gallon selected varieties of Prairie Farms milk, two for $3. 24-ounce package of Prairie Farms cottage cheese, only $1.99. Half-gallon Prairie Farms ice cream, only $2.99. And selected varieties of Yoplait yogurt, three for 99 cents. Only at your hometown proud IGA stores.
We're hometown proud to be your hometown grocer, IGA.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Welcome back to the regional championship game here on True Oldies 104.9 WASI. A few sponsors we'd like to thank: Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Great Harvestman in Clinton, Park County REMC, and the Fountain Trust Company. We'll take a look now at the Daleville batting order as they get set to come to the plate for the first time in the ball game.
All right, leading off in center field, Corbin Maddox hitting second, playing third base, Gavin Whitmore. Third place hitter on the mound tonight, Elliot Jackson. Hitting cleanup, playing shortstop, T.J. Price. Hitting in the fifth slot, Chris Kinnick, the catcher. Hitting sixth, playing first base, Brandon Vermillion. Hitting seventh, playing second base, Bryce Stevens. The D.H. tonight, hitting in the eighth slot, is Brock Savage. And playing right field, Spencer Horsley. Then rounding out starting lineup for the Daleville Broncos, Wes Bibben will be in left field.
So it'll be Maddox, Whitmore, and Jackson to face Caleb Huxford here in the home half of the first. Rockville going down 1-2-3 in the top half of the inning. We'll sprinkle in some other Wabash Valley scores from earlier today in the morning game. I believe eight Wabash Valley teams in action today in their baseball or softball. Six of them were victorious, including the Terre Haute North Patriots. They defeat Decatur Central 2-0 this morning, so they will take on Pendleton Heights in tonight's regional championship game. Huxford's ready to go. He delivers the first pitch, fouled straight down and back for strike one.
A point that I was going to make before we hit break for the national anthem, I think it's going to be important that for Caleb on the mound, that he puts a lot of trust in his fielders, allow them to put the ball in the play by throwing strikes, and trust that your fielders, both on the infield and the outfield, will make plays for you.
That fastball fouled straight back and out of play, and Huxford's quickly heading to count 0-2. Tries to get Maddox to chase, tying outside for ball one. As the wind picks up, it continues to whip around Carroll Field here. That pitch just misses high, and the count even at 2-2.
Yeah, a good pitch on 1-2, right at the letters. Couldn't get Maddox to chase.
Huxford back to work out of the windup. This one is chopped foul up the third baseline. Just a couple of feet wide of the third base foul line. Count remains two balls and two strikes. Westego also victorious this morning in the first round of regional play. They defeat Danville by the score of 5-2. They will take on New Palestine tonight for a regional title. And there's a called strike three as that one catches the outside corner. Corbin Maddox is the strikeout victim, and there's one away in the home half of the first.
I think that we can see here early on anyway that the lower end of the strike zone is going to be a place that you can get strikes rather than the high side.
As Whitmore, the Bronco third baseman, stands in, he takes ball one. Jackamack also victorious today. They defeat Morristown 6-1. They advance to take on Greenwood Christian in tonight's regional championship game. And we'll have a check swing. Appeal down to first is a called strike by the first base umpire. He says he went around too far, and it's now 1-1.
Scott, Ashley Jackamack beat Rising Sun this morning, who I believe was rated 3 or 4 in single A.
Swinging strike there. It's now a ball and two strikes. You're right, that game played at Morristown, but they did play Rising Sun. I'm sorry. And there's another half swing. This time we will not have an appeal, and it'll be two balls and two strikes to Whitmore. That one fouled out of play as Whitmore stays alive. Another WRC team that was in action today, the Seeger Patriots. They fall to Taylor this morning by a score of 8-5. So Seeger Patriots wrap up a sectional championship season with the defeat this morning. But congratulations to them on an outstanding year as once again Whitmore fouls it back to stay alive.
You know, I like the stuff of Caleb here early in the ball game, Scott. He's right around the plate with all of his pitches. So he's got good command here early.
The 2-2 pitch, once again, fouled out of play. Whitmore really battling at the plate. He's been 2-2 for a while now, fouled 4 straight out of play. A lot of times, hitters will win this battle when they're repeatedly fouling pitches off. And Husker pitches just outside with that one, and the count goes full. Both pitchers having to do quite a bit of work in the first frame. Throwing a lot of pitches, but no damage so far. That one well low, and we'll have our first runner of the baseball game as Whitmore draws a full count walk. He'll trot down to first with one away, and that'll bring Jackson. Elliot Jackson, the Broncos, to the plate. Jackson hitting .351 on the season for Daleville.
Daleville, a team more than any of the other four teams here, has got very active on the bases.
Ground ball, base hit, just past the diving third baseman Overpeck. And a little bit of business going here for the Broncos. They have first and second with just one away. That'll bring the cleanup hitter Price to the plate with two on, one away.
DJ Price. Say they have 74 stolen bases on the season as a team. That's about double the amount of Rockville. Sure, with the cleanup hitter here and runners on first and second, I would be very surprised if we saw any movement on the bases.
DJ Price digs in. He's set to go. The pitch from Huckford is high and out of the zone. You know that, not that you've lost any sort of confidence already in Huckford, but a very rested and ready to go Craig Overpeck at third base would be a place Rockville could go if they would get into the situation where they need additional pitching depth. And we've speculated about whether or not Dalton Laney may be available for a late inning or two. That remains to be seen. There's one hit sharply. That's in the gap. Chased down by Monroe. Now it's off the edge of his glove. One run scored. Another run heading towards the plate. And he'll be held up. And now the throw behind him. And he is out. Great heads-up play by Kyle Paddock. Turns and checks the runner. He rounded third too sharply. Paddock throws behind him, and that changes the complexion of this inning dramatically. Instead of second and third with one out, now we'll have just the lone base runner at second base, and there are two away. Big play there by Paddock, and that throw was right where it had to be.
You're exactly right. It actually goes 7-8-6-5 on the throwout. But instead of having two runners in scoring position with one out, the second out of the inning is made at third base, which leaves just one runner in scoring position. And he really came around third base. I thought he was going to be waved home. A late stop by the third base coach. And then he just kind of relaxed. He didn't hustle back to the base, and he got caught on a nice throw by Paddock.
During all that, Coach Kyle took an opportunity to make a quick mound visit, settle down Huxford, as the Rocks for the first time probably in the state tournament fall to find themselves on the wrong end of the scoreboard, 1-0 here in the first.
Well, actually, in the opening game, they trailed Turkey Run at 5-1 before they came back to win that ball game, 11-6.
There is a fastball outside from Huxford to start off Chris Hennix at bat. And now Huxford settles down and finds the strike zone. Sharp fastball there. It's 1-1. So for the first time since the sectional opener, Rockville finds itself trailing in the ball game, but still a ton of baseball to be played. High fastball chase and chop towards third. Overbeck with a quick throw. Strike across the diamond to Laney, and that will retire the side. But a walk and two hits. One run put on the board by Daleville will go to inning number two. It is Daleville 1, the Rocks 0, coming to bat in the second here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
There's a new take on mobile technology. With the Hopper, you can watch all your live and recorded TV anywhere. Transfer most of your DVR recordings to your iPad with the Hopper transfer feature. And check out the Explorer app that lets you interact with your TV through your iPad. Watch everything and go anywhere with the Hopper. Visit BJ's Electronics, your Dish authorized retailer, or call 800-772-2821. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Sean Lucas, Tom Stanball, and Joe Hanner of Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance in Rockville hope you'll join them in cheering on the Rocks. As an active member of the community, Farm Bureau Insurance is proud supporters of high school athletics and is sending best wishes to the Rockville Rocks baseball team. Good coverage doesn't have to cost more. Stop by and see Sean, Tom, and Joe at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, Highway 41 North in Rockville. Stop knocking on wood.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Welcome back to Carroll High School here in Flora, Indiana. Scott Jones, Jim Foster with you. It'll be Overbeck, Graff, and Huxford. Their first trips to the plate here in the top half of the second as Rockville trailing Daleville by the slimmest of margins at 1-0. First pitch to Overbeck. Called strike, and you continue to be right, Jim Foster. The umpire liking the lower part of that zone. That one looked to be well below the knees, but good enough for a strike. The 0-1 pitch is popped up. This one should get out of play. Nice effort by the first baseman, Vermillion. He runs out of room. Let's see. Riverton Park athletic legend Chad Wilson retrieved that foul ball. Looks like he missed. Stuck that in his pocket for a souvenir.
But once again, we have a Rockville batter in the hole, 0-2, the third out of four batters.
Sharp ground ball, base hit past the diving third baseman Whitmore and into left field. And Craig Overpeck becomes the first Rockville baseman.
Number one.
And see if the Rocks can go to work here and erase the early deficit.
Now, that's clearly an error on Jackson's part. He left that curveball in the middle of the plate. And a solid base hit to left field, the first hit of the ball game for Rockville. The first base runner, Tyler Rapp, productive first ball game as he had the game-winning RBI in the opening inning.
He takes ball one low. Yeah, sometimes when the final score winds up being 10-0, you forget that it was that first run and first RBI that started it all. It was all it took to win. Rapp takes that one well upstairs, and it's 2-0.
And I think here you find out a lot about, you know, your pitcher. You give up that first hit after cruising through the first inning. You give up that hit, he's come back with two straight balls.
You find out how comfortable he is pitching from the stretch with that runner on first base. There he finds the strike zone. That one was at the top end of the strike zone, just below the letters, but good enough for strike one. The 2-1 pitch catches the outside corner, and now battling back is Jackson to even the count at 2-2.
early in the ball game, Rockville, to me, Scott, seems to be taking an awful lot of strikes.
The 2-2 pitch. I think Rapp chased ball three up out of the zone. He fouls that one back and out of play. Count remains 2-2, but if they look at the statistics, which I'm sure Coach Kyle and his staff did, they may have saw that strikeout to walk ratio for Jackson, and the game plan may have been, let's make him throw some pitches early on and see if he's in the groove or not. So far he has been, but pitchers can lose it at any time as that one's downstairs and Tyler Rapp has worked the full count.
Well, there's a big hole in between first and second, second baseman, really shading up the middle. First baseman holding Overpeck on, and in that opening contest, Rapp had the first hit through that right side.
The 3-2 pitch, runner in motion, swung on, strike three, throw down to second. Ball beat the runner, but it was not an accurate throw, so that'll be a stolen base for Overpeck as Rapp strikes out for the first out. Caleb Huxford will bat with the runner in scoring position.
Huxford 1-for-3 in the first ball game, struck out his two trips to the plate, but a big two-run single in the fourth inning.
Huxford looking to help his own cause here with the runner out at second, and he lifts one out into left center. That looks like it'll get down, but the runner not able to get a good jump on the ball.
A good heads-up run by Huxford, as he does not hesitate at all at first base. He sees the throw coming into the left side of the infield, advances to second. So Ross Bell was running two runners in scoring position, and Keontre Wilkie at the plate.
Center fielder Maddox, badly missing his cutoff man, overthrows the shortstop, as that allows Huxford to advance to second base. So now runners at second and third for Keontre Wilkie. Keontre takes upstairs.
Well, Scott, we saw an attempt at a suicide squeeze early with Wilkie at the bat. Wouldn't be surprised. Not sure what type of bunter he is.
He's ahead in the count 1-0. Make it 2-0.
Got to believe he's going to stand up there until he throws him a strike.
With the diminutive stature physically of Keontre Wilkie, that low strike zone should be right in his wheelhouse. As he puts the bat on that one, fouls it out of play right side. Two balls and a strike now to Keontre. 1-0, Daleville leads, top half of the second, but the Rocks have runners at second and third, just one away.
Now leaving a ground ball up the middle with second to short. Playing back, giving up the run.
Yeah, just about anything that's not hit directly back to the pitcher on the ground should tie the ball game as Wilkie takes ball three to make it 3-1. And now Wilkie hits it hard to second. That'll get the run home. Wilkie is thrown out, but he does his job. Good fundamental baseball by Keontre Wilkie. He hits it to the right side, drives home the run, and advances Huxford to third base for Cam Elderman.
And we talked about the high number of two-out hits that scored runs for Rockville, Scott, in that opening contest. I believe you said it was 7 of the 10 were two-out runs. So a good opportunity now by Elderman as he takes ball one high.
So the ground out goes 4-3, but Wilkie ties the ball game at 1, and the Rocks have the leading run just 90 feet away for Elderman. He takes high and inside. It's 2-0.
Elderman was 0-for-2 in the first ball game at a sacrifice punt.
And a lot of times, and this is nothing against Elliot Jackson, he's a fine pitcher, but a lot of times when you're facing somebody a little bit less velocity than you did in a morning game, a lot of times it's the bottom of that lineup that gets your offense ignited, and that's been the case here so far for the Rocks, as Elderman has worked a 2-1 count, swings through that fastball, evens the count at 2-2. Sometimes it takes the top of that order once through the rotation to get their timing down. But we talked like it may take a handful of runs to win this game. And that may be the case. That was hit very shallow. It'll be trouble out into right field. But a nice job by Stevens going back on it. The second baseman actually makes the play. So that'll retire the side. The Rocks, two hits in the inning. They tie it up at one. They leave one. And after two, or an inning and a half, it is Rockville 1, Dale 1. We'll be back in 30 seconds here on Truel. He's 104.9 WAXI.
Rick's Auto Repair is your Napa Auto Center, offering a two-year parts warranty on installed Napa products. From brake pad replacement to ABS diagnostics and repair, Rick's has the most up-to-date software for all your vehicle diagnostic needs, covering foreign, domestic, and European makes and models. Rick's Auto Repair, your Napa Care Center in Rockville, next to the IGA store. VP Racing Fuels now in stock.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI Rockville Clinton, a DLC Media radio station.
Welcome back to the regional championship game here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI. Scott Jones, Jim Foster with you. We have played an inning and a half, and we have decided nothing. Ball game all tied up at one. Daleville back for their second inning of work at the plate. It'll be Vermillion, Stevens, and Savage to face Caleb Huckford, who had a bit of a rocky bottom half of the first, but settled down, got out of it, just allowing the one run, and had a big single to tie the ball game up.
Now batting, number seven.
At the plate. See if that gives him a little extra adrenaline. If he can settle into a groove here as he gets into his second inning of work. Vermillion up to the plate. Fastball high.
He was the starting pitcher in the opening ball game.
A 1-0 pitch from Caleb Huckford. Fastball just above the letters. And it's 2-0. We mentioned a 6-1 win for Daleville, but they still went through three pitchers. They tell you that they'd like to have their entire staff available for tonight's game, or at least an inning of spot work here and there.
Well, Scott, since we've been coming over here, I don't remember Daleville being a part of this regional, so at least in the immediate future, a new experience for this program and these kids.
And you mentioned this is a very young team, a lot of sophomores, and that would catch us at the bottom of the zone. It's 3-1. So Daleville may become a familiar opponent here at the regional level if Rockville is fortunate enough to continue to get here the next year or two. As that was fouled back and out of play, the count goes full. A lot of pitches from both pitchers here in the early innings. As Huckford records this second strikeout, the first one of the ball game of the swinging varieties. He blows that one by Vermillion.
Excellent job by Caleb. He fell behind 3-0. Battled his way back to pick up, as you said, the second strikeout of the ball game.
Well, in both innings, he's retired the leadoff batter, and you may give up one here and there, but if you can consistently get that leadoff runner out, you're going to avoid a lot of big innings. That'll get you deep in the ball game. Bryce Stevens to the plate for the first time. Fouls that one off.
And I think that's key what you just said. Don't give up the big inning. Keep your team in the ball game. And there's enough offense on this Rockville ball club that you can battle back, but you don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole.
The 1-1 pitch, high and outside, it's 2-1. You mentioned 250-some runs scored by Rockville this season in 30 ball games, so right at about 7 runs a game. So they're going to eventually score for you. You can keep this offense in the ball game, only give up in that 3-4 run range. You're going to give yourself a chance to win the ball game.
Well, and what we saw in the opening contest, your number one and two batters were on base 8 of 8 times.
That one fouled off I think it got the knob of the bat and then actually maybe came in and caught the side of the batter, Stevens. He appears to be okay, and it's a 2-ball, 2-strike count.
And then open this ball game up, 1-2-3, go down in the first inning, but it's the lower, middle to lower part of your portion that produces your run, and you need that if you're going to be a good offensive team.
Off-speed pitch from Huckford has Stevens well out in front, back-to-back swinging strikeouts, and there's two away here in the home half of the second for Brock Savage, the Bronco designated hitter. Huxford settling into a little mini groove here as he's struck out consecutive hitters. He's now retired three straight. Savage takes ball one as he gets the signs from the third base coach and steps back in. Takes that one low and outside, and it's 2-0. And if Daleville was a little more patient here right now, I think they'd find themselves in some pretty good hitter's counts. As Huxford continues to fall behind. And now it's 3-0. He has done a nice job of buckling down when he's gotten behind in the count, made some big pitches. But this will eventually come back and bite him.
Well, he's not missing bats. You know, he's missing by a minimal amount as he hits Savage.
That was, catches the loose jersey of Brock Savage. Hit by pitch, we'll put a runner at first base with two away for Wes Bibben, the nine-hole hitter for the Daleville Broncos.
Looks like we're going to have a
courtesy runner, number 31.
Pinch runner, number 31.
Grant Bowles.
Actually,
now batting, number eight.
Would not be a courtesy Bibben. Runner, it would be a pinch runner since Savage is the designated hitter.
That he will be able to remain in the ballgame in his designated hitter role.
One time.
We're set to go after the substitution. Bibben digs in. Huxford goes to work, and there's a good sharp fastball to start off Bibben. Tie ballgame here in the bottom half of the second. One run apiece. Daleville with a runner at first and two away.
And there's a reason that he's the number nine batter in the lineup. There's no reason to not go right at him as Huxford comes back with the pitch on the low side of the strike zone, but Bibben swings through for strike two.
So Huxford way ahead in the count. 0-2 to Bibben. Runners on the move. This one's inside. We'll have a late throw from Rapp. Not sure why he went ahead and made the throw. It was stolen on Huxford. He grabbed with no chance to throw out the runner. Could have been a dangerous play as the ball actually got into short center field, but unable to advance with Savage. Or actually, that's Bowles unable to advance.
Really not sure why he didn't come up throwing to start with unless he couldn't get a grip on the ball. By the time he did, Bowles was within four or five steps of the base.
There's a swing and a miss as Huxford strikes out the side, sneaks a hit by pitch in there as well. That gives Caleb Huxford four strikeouts through two innings. We've played two complete. We're still tied at one. Rockville coming to bat in the third. We'll be back in 30 seconds here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Let's talk trash. Have you noticed some trash services bait you with an introductory low price, then a bill or two later, their prices hit the roof? Park County natives Jack and Joetta Scanlon have created Jack's Trash Service. Call today and save cash on your trash. Look for the big green trucks in your neighborhood. Call Jack's Trash Service now. 765-653-2838, Jack's Trash Service in Greencastle.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Welcome back to Carroll High School here in Florida, Indiana. Regional championship game, Rockville and Daleville tied at one. Top half of the third, it'll be Monroe. And then back to the top of the order, Cunningham and Paddock for the Rockville Rocks. A couple more sponsors we'd like to thank making our regional day of baseball possible for you. BJ's Electronics in Rockville, Mike's Motor Company in Clinton, and the Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company. We thank them and all of our fine sponsors for making high school baseball available for you here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Well, thus far, Scott, it's been a very productive day for Wabash Valley teams. As you mentioned earlier, Terre Haute North, West Vigo, Shackamack, and Rockville as well playing in at regional championship action tonight.
on the softball side, North Central of Farmersburg, victorious this morning in the opening game of the semi-state. We'll try to keep you updated on the other regional championship scores in baseball and that semi-state championship action for North Central of Farmersburg. Feel like there's a game we're missing that we haven't relayed a score from. We'll have to check our notes in between innings. Monroe stands in, half swing off the end of the bat, fouls it up the first baseline, and it's quickly 0-2 to Luke Monroe.
And I think that's the thing. If you look down to Coach Kyle, it just kind of shakes his head a little bit. If you're going to swing the bat, son, let's swing it and get a good cut at it. Be aggressive.
Chopper to second. Charging is Stevens. He'll underhand it to first. And that'll retire Luke Monroe. 4-3. So now two out of the three innings. Elliot Jackson has retired the leadoff batter. So he's doing a nice job just like Huxford is to the Rocks of getting that leadoff out. And now Ben Cunningham, who has reached base four times and five at-bats on the day, but flew out to second base in his first trip today, stands in. Takes that one low for ball one. It's not a stat kept at the high school level, but if it was, you'd have to think Ben Cunningham would be among the state leaders in pitches seen per at-bat and total for the season. He takes ball two there. It's rare you don't see a full count at bat from Ben Cunningham unless it's because he's ripped an early pitch
But you can almost guarantee yourself that he's going to take a strike before he swings. You know, that is a stat that they keep at a major league level. And one of the leaders in that category, Chris Bryant, was called up by the Cubs.
And it's 3-1 now to Cunningham. That one misses well low. And Cunningham takes a lot of pitches early in the ball game, kind of lulls you into a false sense of security in the later innings when you groove that first pitch fastball, and that's when he jumps all over it for a big late game hit.
And he realizes that his job as leadoff hitter, Scott, is to get on base regardless of how he does it. Has a high number of walks, a high number of hit by pitches, and a very good batting average.
Takes that one for a strike. Full count. Rips this one up the third baseline. Fair. Big turn at first, but he'll slam on the brakes, and it'll be a one-out single for Ben Cunningham. And very thick and hardy grass here at Carroll High School really slowed that one down. It could not get very far into the corner. An excellent hustle by Bivin in left field limits Cunningham to just one base.
Bring Kyle Paddock to the plate, flew out to the center fielder. Good opportunity right now, Scott. A little movement on the bases, whether it be a hit and run or a stolen base attempt.
Paddock takes that one way high for ball one. He flew out to center field, about mid-range center field, in his first trip. And Daleville coach has seen enough. He needs to go out and settle down his pitcher, Elliot Jackson. Brings the whole infield in for a quick conference.
Well, the reason I say that it's a good time for some movement, you've got your leading base dealer on base. You got a good contact hitter at the plate in Paddock. And right now you have to believe it's going to be a tight ball game. And it's an opportunity to make something happen as you steal the runner from first to second. Somebody's going to cover and open up a hole on the infield, and if you hit a ground ball that way, it should sneak itself into the outfield and get Cunningham to third with Paddock on first, and then Laney coming up as your three-hitter, and Overpeck is four.
It'll be a ball and no strikes to Kyle Paddock as we resume play. Runner at first is Cunningham after a one-out single. Jackson ready to go back to work, and this one popped up, back of home plate, and it'll get out of play for strike one. Top of the third, we're tied at one here at Carroll High School in the regional championship game. Class 1A North, Rockville and Daleville. This will be my first ever in-person sporting event seed played by Daleville High School as Cunningham is in motion, and this one's hit deep to center, chasing, and that one will get up against the fence. Cunningham's going to score, and Padoff will cruise into second with an RBI double, and the Rocks have their first lead at 2-1. Kyle Padoff got every bit of that one on any other day. That's a two-run homer.
Scott, that ball was crushed to left center field. We talked about how the wind is blowing here tonight, straight in from right field. Good base running by Ben Cunningham as he was at second base. He realized it was going to get over the head of the center fielder. He scored easily. Padoff with a stand-up double at second base. With your third-place hitter, Dalton Laney, at the plate.
So the Rocks in business here, a runner in scoring position for Laney as he takes a strike. Great call there by Coach Kyle. He put the hit and run on, and Kyle Padoff came through with a huge drive to deep center field. As Laney takes that one upstairs to even the count at a ball and a strike.
And with the hit and run, I don't know that you're looking for one to be crushed like that. You're looking for a line drive or a ground ball into an opening, but you would definitely take that any day. So Padoff continues to be productive here today. That's his fourth hit.
And his third RBI as well in two games. Just actually a game and two at bats. Laney takes that one downstairs.
Laney, a base hit in the opening ball game. He had the two RBIs that finished the ball game, but created the 10-run rule in the bottom of the fifth.
A lot of attention being paid to Padoff, the base runner at second. Laney fouls that one off. We'll call that one an error on Coach Kyle.
Coach Kyle does not make errors, just asking.
That would have been a tough play, but I didn't really see the type of effort out of him that I would like to see on that ball, so we're going to go ahead and give him an error. Two balls, two strikes to Dalton Laney as he bats with a runner at second and one away. Rocks leading 2-1, top half the third. Laney's ready. Jackson comes set. This one smoked up the first baseline. That'll get down, but foul. That would have easily scored Padoff from second base. That one fouled by a couple of feet.
So everything that's been hit down that way today has tailed off to the outside the first baseline. That would have been at least two, possibly a triple. Easily would have scored Padoff.
Well, you would have thought that the wind would have helped that one stay fair. But it did not. Laney has to go back to work. The count's still 2-2.
Obviously, anything by a right-hander hit that direction has a spin on it a little bit differently. So the spin is going to create for it to tail, and that time, unfortunately, about 2 feet too much.
Jackson takes too much time. Laney steps out of the box. Now we're ready to go again. The 2-2 pitch, and just staying alive there as Dalton Laney gets a piece of it. And we got a good battle here between the two pitchers, or two pitchers. Laney not pitching this ball game.
A good breaking ball right there by Jackson. Good piece of hitting by Laney as well, just to fight it off.
That one way high, as you can see every once in a while when Jackson goes to one of his pitches in his arsenal, he doesn't get a good grip on it. That's two or three, he's lost completely coming out of his hand.
Well, I don't think you want to make a mistake here to Laney with a base open.
And Laney drills this one. That'll get through the hole between short and third. Coach Kyle's going to send Padoff to the plate. He will score. Ill-advised throw home will allow Dalton Laney to advance to second base. That's Laney's fourth RBI of the day. First of the second game, and Rockville scored a couple in the inning, and they've taken a 3-1 lead. Most importantly, the overthrow allows Rockville to continue getting runners into scoring position.
Yeah, I think you got two mistakes right there that are made, Scott. Number one, with the base open and Laney at the plate, I think you want to make him hit your pitch. I don't think you want to give him anything in the strike zone, and it's a pitch down the middle, but he's able to drive into left field for the base hit. Worst-case scenario there, you put him on base, and you then have runners on first and second, but he's able to drive Padoff in with that base hit. Then the throw to home plate goes all the way through. Blaney then advances to second base. So the Rocks, once again, score the run, also have a runner in scoring position. We have a pitching change.
Yeah, Coach Hansen's seen enough out of Jackson as he realizes that not a lot of margin of error in this one, so he's going to go to the bullpen. We'll get some stats on the new pitcher for Daleville, but first we'll take a quick 30-second timeout here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Teams and coaches know it takes hard work to reach their goals. This applies not only to baseball, but to personal finance as well. Hi, this is Greg Harbison with Edward Jones. You work hard for your money, and you deserve to have a portfolio that works as hard as you do. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me at 765-832-3644 or stop by my office in Clinton to set up a portfolio review. I can help you work towards your financial goals. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Welcome back to Regional Baseball here as number six, Craig Overbeck, will stand in to face the new Daleville pitcher, number 24, Spencer Horsley. I think Jim knows a little bit about him.
He has a very good record, 6-2, a 1.98 ERA. He struck out 36 in 46 innings this year and has walked just 9, so a good ratio between walks and strikeouts. A little bit surprised, being one of the workhorses, that he didn't start the second game.
Well, looking at their stats, this is what you would consider to be their ace. We certainly don't know them as well as the coaching staff does. As Overpeck hits one to short, fielded cleanly. Long throw across the diamond is in time. Laney takes a big turn at third, draws the throw back to third, but it's handled cleanly, and Laney scampers back in safely. I like the aggressiveness there by Coach Kyle and Dalton Laney to make Daleville throw the ball across the field twice there. You never know when one might get away from somebody and you can steal a run.
Well, he cut in front of the shortstop. Typically, the rule of thumb is you don't run with a ground ball in front of you. But he did come in front of the shortstop, so the shortstop made a nice play.
That'll bring Tyler Rapp to the plate. Rockville leading 3-1. Dalton Laney's at third with two outs. Rapp was a strikeout victim in his first trip to the plate. A big fourth run there at third for the Rocks. Chopper, foul. And another error on Coach Kyle's. That one goes right through the wickets. Rapp down in the count, 0-2.
Although we've seen just four pitches, I believe three of the four have been curveballs by Horsley. Not a particularly hard thrower. I'm sure it's more about location, getting that breaking pitch across the plate, pitching ahead, and getting batters to chase.
A little bit longer time in between pitches for Horsley is this one off speed in the dirt for ball one. A couple more sponsors we'd like to thank, Crown Hill Dentistry in Clinton and Jack's Trash Service in Greencastle. Rapp, the 1-2 count, digs back in. Laney down at third. And Rapp swings over the top of that one. Horsley comes in and quickly puts out the fire, but not before Rockville takes the lead as they tack on a couple of runs on three hits, including the mammoth double from Kyle Paddock. After 2.5 innings, it's Rockville 3, Daleville 1 here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Quality service and family-oriented since 1931. Mike's Motors in Clinton is here to stay, giving Vermilion Park, Vigo, Clay, and surrounding counties excellent service and award-winning customer satisfaction, offering a wide selection of vehicles featuring Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. GM Alan Cobb and sales manager Mike Shake have all the answers about inventory, service, parts, financing, and more. Stop by today or call 832-2411. Hit a home run every time with Mike's Motor Company across the River Bridge in Clinton or online at mikesmotor.net.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Here's something worth shouting.
Yeah. Welcome back to Carroll High School. Got Jim Foster with you. Rockville jumps on top of Daleville for the first time today. They scored two runs in the top half of the third. after one in the second to tie it, and they lead 3-1. Caleb Huxford out there for his third frame of work. He'll face the top half, or hopefully just the top third of the Daleville lineup, as it'll be Maddox, Whitmore, and Jackson seeing Huxford for the second time today.
Well, the top of the lineup was able to get to Huxford for a single run in the opening inning, had a very good second inning, so it would be a big inning to come back and shut it down after receiving two runs in that inning and taking the lead for the first time at 3-1.
Number four, Corbin Maddox, struck out looking in his first trip. Digs in against Caleb Huxford, and he fouls that one straight back, and Huxford ahead in the count, no balls and a strike.
Now, this is the way that he opened the ball game, by getting ahead in counts. We've said it many times that a lot more effective when you're able to pitch in that situation. That pitch is taken low and outside by Maddox. Runs the count even at 1-1. I mentioned the winner will play next Saturday, Scott, in a single game semi-state. That will be played at either Kokomo. Last year we went to Kokomo, or Plymouth, I believe, is the other option.
And, of course, only one of those two options is any good at all, and that's Kokomo, because Plymouth is 19 hours away by car. And chasing that one in the dirt is Maddox. Nice dig by Tyler Rapp, and that will be the fifth strikeout of the ball game for Huxford, and he's now struck out four of the last five hitters he's faced.
I think you can see the level of confidence that he's really settled himself down, very comfortable out on the mound.
That brings up Whitmore, who walked in his first trip. He takes a ball to start his second at bat.
He scored the lone run for Daleville in this ballgame.
He hits a high fly ball. This could be trouble out near center, but good communication between Wilkie and Cunningham, and it is Keontre Wilkie who will make the play in right center field for the second out.
Elliot Jackson.
So this is exactly how you'd like to see Huxford handle this half of the inning. He has retired the first two hitters. That'll bring up Jackson, who singled in his first at-bat, was later erased on the base path on a nice heads-up play by Kyle Paddock. He can't do a whole lot of damage with the bases empty. You get the first two guys, you can go right after him. Worst-case scenario, he hits a long ball, you're still up a run.
Man, it's going to take quite a long ball to get it out of here today.
He hits a rope right at the center fielder, Cunningham. And he puts it away. 1-2-3, very economical low pitch inning for Caleb Huxford. That'll help him go deep into the ball game. And he has the picture perfect shut down bottom of the third after his team gives him the lead in the top half of the third. We'll go to inning number four. Rockville continues to lead Daleville 3-1 here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Raise your hand if you run your electric co-op. Come on, let's see them. Keep one hand on the wheel, please, driver. Let's go, passenger side, hand up. You too, backseat. We see you back there. In fact, everyone should have a hand up, because as co-op members, we all have a say in how the co-op is run. Learn more about the power of your co-op membership at TogetherWeSave.com.
Park County REMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative. Visit them online at PCREMC.com.
Hi, I'm Doug Weisheit, Vice President at the Fountain Trust Company. We at the Fountain Trust Company at the Rockville IJ Banking Center now have two loan officers to work with you and your loan needs. R.J. Mahern and I are dedicated to working with local families to finance your truck, tractor, farm, or home. The Fountain Trust Company is a local bank with local lending staff helping local people. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. The Fountain Trust Company is ready to make your lending needs come true. FountainTrust.com.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball.
Wilkie and Helderman here in the top half of the fourth inning. First pitch to Huxford, sweeping curveball, and this is low for ball one.
Well, Scott, you mentioned the low pitch count in the previous inning. It was eight pitches for Caleb Huxford in that half of the third inning.
Huxford rips one. This will get down and past the left fielder. Extra bases for Huxford all the way to the fence. He'll take a look at third. but retreat to second. A leadoff stand-up double for Caleb Huxford. Once again, helping out his own cause. He's now 2 for 2. It's a single and a leadoff double here to start the fourth.
Yeah, I've got to believe right now Wilkie's going to be asked to put the ball down on the ground by way of bunt, get the runner to third with just one out. But the rope by Huxford is exactly what you need to do in this wind. The left fielder took one step in. At that point, he was beat as the ball sailed over his head.
Wilkie does square to bunt. Curveball way inside and high, 1-0. Wilkie grounded out his first time up, but he did drive in the game-tying run as he did exactly what he was asked to do with a runner in third and just one away. He hit the ball to the right side. That got the Rocks offense started.
Well, you'd like to bunt the ball here and force the third baseman to have to come in and field the ball, but they're in their bunt rotation where he's staying at third, pitcher will cover. This happened to field. If you could bunt it hard enough down towards third, I'm not sure you could throw out Wilkie at first base.
Well, we know from football and basketball what tremendous speed he has, but I think right now he's going to make Horsley throw a strike, and he's yet to do so. It's 3-0 as Horsley trying to get a little too perfect and has fallen behind Keandre Wilkie. 3 balls and no strikes.
And sometimes you've just got to take the out when the team's willing to give it to you. With Huxford at third, you're going to have your number 8 and 9 hitters up. And as you said, you try to get a little bit too cute. And you end up, before you know it, you've got 2 and 3 runners on base.
Wilkie was taking 3-0. It's a strike on the inside corner. It'll make 3 balls and 1 strike now to the Rockville right fielder. Wilkie, number 5. On his back, gets down a good bunt. The only play will be to first, and it's overthrown. That'll get the run home. Wilkie can run for days. Coach Kyle's bringing him to third. Here comes the throw. Not in time. Keandre Wilkie puts the ball in play, lets the speed do the rest. Rockville has a 4-1 lead and a runner at third with nobody out.
Yeah, huge. Any time that you can put pressure on the defense, there's a good example of what can happen as Rockville was willing to give up the out. Daleville unable to successfully execute defensively as a sacrifice goes as a sacrifice bunt for Wilkie. Air on the pitcher allows him to come all the way around to third. There's no RBI on the play as Huxford scores the fourth run of the ball game for Rockville.
So Rockville in very good position to tack on an additional run at minimum here. That is the speed of Wilkie at third base. Nobody out.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a suicide squeeze or a safety squeeze right here with Helderman and Wilkie on third base. Now Daleville pulls the corners in, still back up the middle, willing to give up the run. I'm not sure at this point of the ball game in the fourth inning, down 3-1s, I would want to go down 4.
Helderman takes low for ball one. That just shows you that speed translates to every sport, as that is the third time today Keandre Wilkie has reached on an error. As Helderman rips this one foul up the third baseline, it'll be a ball and a strike, but Keandre Wilkie puts the ball in play, and his speed puts so much pressure on the defense that they have repeatedly rushed the play. I think that time the pitcher, Horsley, had much more time to get Wilkie at first than he thought. So when you put that extra bit of pressure on the defense, that's when mistakes are made, and Wilkie's done that perfectly throughout the day. And this curveball stopped nicely by the Broncos catcher, Kinnick, but it'll be 2 balls and a strike now to Cam Helderman.
No good hitters count now. You're ahead in the count, 2-1. Look for a pitch that you can hit up the middle or drive into the outfield.
2-1 count. This is where I'd like to see the suicide or safety squeeze, either one, get that big fifth run home, especially with the repeated off-speed pitches we see out of Horsley. Wilkie be a couple steps from the plate by the time Helderman got the bat on the ball. Yeah. That one misses outside for ball three.
3-1 right here. You're looking for a fastball in one area, something that you can drive and hit hard.
Here's the pitch. Helderman does hit it hard. Diving stop by the third baseman. He'll make the great play to get Helderman, but it does bring home the fifth Rockville run And that's, you can't say enough about that play by Whitmore. He was drawn in, made the diving stop to his left, and was able to throw Helderman out from his backside. Nothing he could do about Wilkie scoring, but that'll limit the big inning if they can work through the bottom of the lineup here.
Well, that gets by Whitmore. I'm not sure that doesn't get into left field, as he made an outstanding play. But a good job by Helderman to drive in the fifth run of the ball game for Rockville. It's now a four-run lead at 5-1 here in the top of the fourth.
The Luke Monroe bats with the bases empty, still just one away from the Rocks as they tack two more on here in the fourth inning.
Monroe ahead in the count, 2-0. He grounded the second base to lead off inning number three.
Hitters count for Monroe. He gets underneath this one. It's called by the shortstop, and it will be C.J. Price, the Daleville shortstop, making the play for out number two. So back to the top of the order now for Rockville, Ben Cunningham, who's 1-for-2 on the day. A single and a pop out to second. Cunningham reached base 5 out of 6 trips. He scored 5 runs on the day.
6 hit by pitch again, Scott.
So that's 26 hit by pitches in 32 games for Mr. Cunningham. Continues to be a astronomical number.
So we have two outs.
Number 7,
Cunningham on once again. I think a good opportunity to try to make something on the base pass. Wants to get a good contact hitter in Paddock at the plate, your leading base stealer. Cunningham at first base.
With the off-speed stuff of Horsley, I'd have Cunningham going on the first pitch right here, and he is, and the ball gets away from the catcher. Cunningham's going to take a big turn, and he's going to try it. He'll dive into third, no throw. Great hustle and heads-up base running by Ben Cunningham. We'll give him a stolen base there, and then he advances to third on the wild pitch. So once again, a runner just 90 feet away for Kyle Paddock.
You know, a lot can happen now with the runner on third base, and you don't even have to put the ball in play in order to score a run here. We said Horsley, predominantly a breaking pitcher. Anything in the dirt that gets away from the catcher is going to give Cunningham a chance to score.
Paddock chops that one foul straight back, and it'll be in a ball and a strike now. Rockville leading 5-1, top half of the fourth. A semi-state berth at either Kokomo or Plymouth awaits the winner of this ball game. Paddock waited back on the off-speed pitch, but still just a little bit out in front of it, and he swings through it for strike two. Really like to see Paddock find any way he can to either reach base or get that run home, as you'd love to see Laney come to the plate here with that runner at third. As that one misses well outside, nice play by the catcher Kinnick to keep it in front of him, and it's even at 2-2.
I have to believe Horsley's going to come back to that breaking pitch. We'd like to see Kyle take that thing to right field. There's a big gap in between first base and second base.
Huge hole up the middle as well. As he waits on this one, chops it up the third baseline. That's going to be a tough play and a wild throw. Safe at first is Paddock, and that will score Cunningham from third. And you got to credit the heads-up base running and the hustle of Ben Cunningham to get himself to third base on that last pass ball. Otherwise, he would not have scored on that chopper. A nice play by the first baseman Vermillion to get that high throw, but can't contain the damage. The sixth run comes home for Rockville.
No, the hustle by Cunningham, as you mentioned, he steals the base. The wild pitch gets back to the screen, and he continues to go around second, brings it all the way to third. Throw doesn't even come down as he goes in with a head first slide. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Charlie Hustle on that play. And then the swinging infield single just to the left side of the pitcher's mound, forcefully unable to field the ball and get it to first in time as Kyle Paddock beats out the infield single for another RBI, and this will bring up Laney Wouldn't be surprised once again to see more movement on the bases. Worst case scenario, Laney leads off the bottom of the fifth for you.
So after a 3-for-3 game one with two RBIs, Kyle Paddock now 2-for-3 in the ninth cap with two more RBIs, making him 5-for-6, four runs driven in on the day, and he is off to the races. Catcher can't handle it on the transition from his glove to his throwing hand, so Paddock steals his way into scoring position for Laney.
Man, I just think the type of pitcher you have on the mound right now, there's going to be an awful lot of movement on the bases by Rockville. It's the second stolen base here of the inning for Rockville. Laney now with an opportunity. A runner in scoring position and two outs.
And you know he's licking his chops waiting for Horsley to hang one of those breaking balls. Yeah. That's the type of pitch you can get out of here, even on a day like today, if you can get behind it a little bit.
He had an RBI single in his last trip to the plate.
Fastball to Laney, misses low and outside. It's two balls and a strike.
And with two outs, you know Kyle's going to get a good jump out there on second base. So most likely on a base hit, he's going to be able to score. You look at the outfield depth right now, they're playing very deep on Laney.
The 2-1 pitch. Another fastball taken outside. It's 3-1.
Well, similar situation last time, Scott, and they elected to pitch Delaney, and they paid the price. I have to believe right now that he's going to get some type of breaking pitch to try to get him to chase with the base open.
See if he has the 3-1 green light as Horsley comes set. It's a fastball, and it's ripped past the third baseman. Coach Kyle's going to send Paddock to left fielder, can't handle it cleanly, wings it home anyway, and that'll allow Kyle Paddock to get into scoring position. Dalton Laney is Laney with an RBI single. He goes to second on the throw home that had no chance to get Kyle Paddock.
So once again, they elect to pitch to Dalton Laney with first base open. And for the second consecutive inning, he comes through with a two-out base hit RBI. He takes second base. It's just almost an identical situation. The throw comes home. No chance to get Kyle Paddock. Throw comes home. Laney advances to second. He now in scoring position.
Rapp, who has struck out twice, stands in. Craig Overpeck stands in. He is 1-for-2 in the ball game. I got one spot ahead of myself in my chicken scratch lineup that I incorrectly wrote down.
Of the last two runs of these three.
There's a rocket in between short and third. Coach Kyle's going to send Laney home. This time the left fielder handles it cleanly. It will not be in time. And it's Overpeck going to second. Now he'll turn and come to third as the ball gets away. And Rockville taking every advantage of every indecision and poor decision made by Daleville as it's now 8-1 and Overpeck's at third base for Rapp.
Now another two-out RBI single. And we've got not only did he throw to the wrong base, we've got an E7 as it goes back. Overpeck to move all the way to third base. Third consecutive run that has scored in this inning that have been with two outs.
And
Rapp looks to make to continue things.
Now it will be Tyler Rapp standing in to face Horsley. And he pops it up, and I mean up. It'll be the third baseman's play, and Whitmore will make the play and finally, mercifully, retire the side for Daleville. But Rockville breaks this one wide open. They tack on six more runs, and they lead it 8-1 as we've reached the midpoint of this ball game. We'll come back with the bottom half of the fourth. Here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
First three batters for the Broncos.
Dr. John Ferguson and the staff at Ferguson Chiropractic Center are proud to sponsor local high school sports. For over 30 years, Ferguson Chiropractic Center has been providing quality, affordable, safe, and effective chiropractic care to the people of West Central Indiana and East Central Illinois. Caring for you and your family is Ferguson Chiropractic Center's top priority. Get well and stay well with Ferguson Chiropractic Center Care. Ferguson Chiropractic Center, located in Rockville on U.S. Highway 36.
The three-day meat sale now through Saturday at your Hometown Proud IGA stores. Boneless bottom round steak, $3.99 a pound. Butterfly pork chops, $2.99 a pound. Bone-in Western-style pork ribs, only $2.29 a pound. And pork steaks, $2.49 a pound. Take advantage of the three-day meat sale now through Saturday at your Hometown Proud IGA stores.
We're Hometown Proud to be your hometown grocer, IGA.
Back to Carroll High School, Florida, Indiana, and everybody feeling pretty good about themselves right now. I'm Scott Jones, Tim Foster alongside me. Rockville just hung the crooked number, a 5 spot up in their half of the fourth inning. They open up a 7-run lead at 8-1, and they are now halfway to a regional championship as we get set to play in the bottom half of the fourth. But we know that the explosive Daleville offense still can do some damage in this ball game, a long way from over. If you're Rockville, you want to see Huxford with another quick inning and go right back to work offensively. You can never have enough offense at this point in the state tournament.
Well, you can't relax just because you've got a 7-run lead here in the bottom of the fourth inning. I think you've got to go back to work just as you have in the first three innings. Continue to throw strikes, force them to earn their way on base.
And that's something we talked about in the postgame show this morning, that Rockville never did relax offensively. They kept tacking runs on and tacking runs on, and eventually found themselves in the driver's seat after just 5 innings playing in the championship game. As that one's fouled back and out of play by number 2, P.J. Price, who had an RBI double his first trip. He's in a 1-2 hole against Caleb Huxford.
We've talked about it throughout the day, Scott, that when you can score 2-out runs, you're going to be a very productive baseball team. And 3 of those 5 in the top of this inning came by way of 2-out hits as Huxford hits the first out of the inning by way of strikeout.
And that is now 5 strikeouts for Caleb Huxford in the last 8 batters he's faced. He has retired 5 consecutive. He has 6 strikeouts in the ballgame. And he'll face Chris Kinnick with the bases empty and 1 away. And I lost track of the first 3 runs Rockville scored, but the 18 runs they've scored today, at least 10 of them have been with 2 outs. And 7 of the 10 runs this morning were scored with 2 outs, and at least 3 more of these 8 today, and probably more than that.
Well, if you've got youngsters watching this ball game, that last inning was just how important it is as Huxford strikes out another batter for the second out of the inning. How important it is as an outfielder to throw the ball to the correct base. 3 or 4 times we saw a ball thrown to the wrong base, which allowed Rockville runners to continue to move from first to either second or third into scoring positions and allow them to eventually come around to score.
Now 7 strikeouts for Huxford. 6 of the last 8 batters he has faced have been strikeout victims. As he has gotten a lead from his offense, he has really found a groove out there on the ball. Finally, contact made, and that'll get past the diving Helderman in second. It'll be a 2-out single for Brandon Vermillion, and Daleville has life with 2 away.
You know what? That's all right. Hit the ball to get on base.
Just 1 walk so far today for Huxford, and that was way back in the first inning.
I was going to say 7 strikeouts to just 1 walk. He's hit 1 batter here in the ball game.
You got to do that every once in a while. Just keep him on it. This one nubbed up the third baseline. And it stays fair. I think Huxford may have made a mistake there. He had no chance to throw out the runner going to first. I think he's got to let that one roll itself out and see if it doesn't go back foul. Now Daleville has runners at first and second with 2 outs.
Well, most likely with a dirt baseline, that ball does roll foul. But it's an all-grass infield other than once you get to the bases. And I think you're exactly right. He had no chance of throwing the runner out at first base. You might as well let it roll out. Even if it dies in fair territory, your runner on second's not going to be able to advance to third. So with 2 outs, a pair of base hits for the Daleville Broncos.
And that one had an extra little zip on it as he blows a fastball past Brock Savage, who was hit by a pitch his first trip, and finds himself on the wrong side of an 0-1 count here to start his second at bat. It's been a relatively quick ball game, considering the scoring we've seen. We've played just an hour and 15 minutes so far. As another strike delivered by Huxford, it's 0-2 to Savage.
Yeah, very good composure. He doesn't seem to have allowed these two base hits to bother him at all.
And there's a half swing that will cost Brock Savage a full strike. Huxford strikes out the side, sandwiched around a couple of base hits. But eight strikeouts in the ballgame for Caleb Huxford. And after four complete innings, it's Rockville 8. Daleville 1. We'll be back with the Rockville half of inning number 5 here on True Oldies 1049 WASI.
Build tomorrow's technology today with Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company. We have the technology to provide our customers with quality home telephone service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No dropped calls, no relying on towers and batteries. Plus, Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company is a true local internet service provider with a local technical support team available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Find out more. Bloomingdale Home Telephone, 498-2000.
Welcome back to Carroll High School. It's the regional championship game here at True Oldies 1049 WAXI. We'll see the third pitcher of the ball game for Daleville. Number 4, Corbin Maddox, will come in from center field and take over the pitching duties. He will see Huxford, Wilkie, and Helderman, the middle part of the Rockville lineup here in the top half of the fifth.
Maddox on the year's logged 25 innings, has a 2-3 record, a 3.64 earned run average. He struck out 18 on the year, just walked only 3 batters, so good numbers there. Just a sophomore.
Well, as we await the new pitcher, a couple of sponsors we'd like to thank that's made today's regional broadcast possible. Charlie's Place in Dana, Hawkins Car Wash in Rockville, and Rick's Auto Service in Rockville. We thank them and all our fine sponsors that have made today's regional broadcast available for you here on True Oldies 1049 WAXI.
Caleb Huxford leads off the top of the fifth. He started the top of the fourth with a line drive double over the left fielder's head to get things going. It was 9 batters coming to the plate for the Rocks in inning number 4, producing 5 runs.
Huxford is 2-for-2 on the day with a single and a double. He has also scored a run. So he has not only been outstanding out on the mound through 4 innings, but he has helped himself quite a bit at the plate as well, as he fouls that one out of play and is quickly in an 0-2 hole. Right now, you just as soon see him get back in the dugout and stay rested, as that one just about got over the center fielder's head. As new center fielder out there, we don't have identification on yet. We'll get that for you in just a moment, but he made his first move in instead of back, but Huxford retired for the first time today, and I think that might be Horsley out there in center field. I think I see 2-4 on his back, but that's a long way to see for these old eyes.
You got better eyes than I do, buddy, but a long out, a ball hit very well by Huxford for the first out of the inning.
And that doesn't break my heart at this point in the ball game. I don't mind seeing him sitting on that dugout bench right now, getting a little air in him, getting some rest.
Keegan Wimsett will pinch hit for Keontre Wilkie here in the top of the fifth, his first at bat. He was the first baseman for the Rocks in the first ball game. Takes strike one.
It'll be Wimsett's first at bat of the day, as Wilkie was the designated hitter for him in the day's opener, which Rockville was 10-0 victors in over Blue River Valley. Fouls that one into the Rockville dugout. Everybody okay, but a 2-strike count now to Keegan Wimsett.
Would be surprised if Wilkie doesn't re-enter out in right field. A little more activity in the bullpen for Rockville. I believe that's Ben Cunningham warming up. Earlier, I thought I saw Craig Overpeck, and I have to believe that's a just-in-case situation.
With the way that Huxford's been rolling the last three innings, expect to see him back out there for the sixth. There's a ground ball by Winstead. It's cut off by the third baseman. Long throw is dug out nicely by Vermillion. Good play on both ends. That'll go Lindmore across to Vermillion, and Winstead is retired. And there's two outs, nobody on for Cam Elderman.
Oh, well hit ball by Winstead. Thought it might sneak through in between third base and shortstop, but as you say, a nice play by Whitmore to cut it off and to make the successful throw to first base. Elderman in the ballgame, 0-for-2, had an RBI ground out in his last trip to the plate. A diving play by Whitmore once again at third base prevented the base hit from going into the outfield. Was able to throw Helderman out at first base, but Wilkie able to score on that ground ball.
Helderman fouls that pitch straight back. It's 0-1. This one he gets into a little bit, drives it out towards right. Drifting over towards right center is Forsley, or actually I'm not sure who that is at this point. As the right fielder is now in center, but it does not matter. The right fielder puts it away. 1-2-3. Go the Rocks in their half of inning number 5. And after 4.5 innings, the score remains Rockville 8, Daleville 1. We'll be back with the bottom half of inning number 5 in 30 seconds here on True Police 104.9 WAXI.
Shine up your ride and show your pride at the ball game. Joe and Kathy Hawkins of Hawkins Car Wash behind Fifth Third Bank in Rockville hope you'll join in the excitement and show your spirit for your favorite players and team. Our young athletes work hard, and Joe and Kathy Hawkins are proud to be a sponsor of local high school sports. Hawkins Car Wash, cheering all area teams and sending big congratulations win or lose. Hawkins Car Wash, keeping it clean behind Fifth Third Bank in Rockville.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
I can see this playing a six-time schedule. I mean, I can only find a 6-6 record. Right in Tennessee.
Welcome back to Carroll High School here in Flora, Indiana. We apologize. Just a bit of technical difficulties, but we're ready to go here now for the home half of the fifth. It will remain Caleb Huxford out on the mound for Rockville. He'll face Wes Vivin, the nine-hole hitter, to start things off. And then back to the top of the lineup with Maddox and Whitmore for Daleville, who needs to get something started here. It's getting kind of late. They trail 8-1 in the fifth. Just 9 outs left for the Broncos.
Vivin struck out his first batting opportunity. He takes strike one, evens the count at 1-1.
Kind of an odd signal there by the umpire. Had me a little bit confused as well. We eventually saw that arm go up for a strike. Huxford comes back with strike number 2. Fastball remains crisp. I don't think that Huxford has lost any velocity here through 4-plus innings. We'll get an approximate pitch count on him in just a little bit as an excuse-me swing there by Bivin. He's a strikeout victim for the second time in as many trips, and that'll be 9 strikeouts in the ballgame for Caleb Huxford. Corbin Maddox, who has struck out twice, steps in for his third at bat. And now Caleb Huxford has matched Dalton Laney's strikeout total from this morning's ball game with 9. Laney struck out 9 in 5 innings. Huxford has struck out 9 in 4 1/3. And Maddox gets a hold of that one. That's going to get down for extra bases up against the fence in left center. Maddox grounds second. They'll stay right there with a 1-out double, and Daleville shows a little bit of life once again, a runner in scoring position with just one away, as Maddox makes his first contact of the evening.
I've liked the way that he swung the bat at plate, although he struck out his first two times. That hits that one very well. Right now, you've got to really put your focus on the batter. Get out as you can. Don't worry as much about your runner on base.
Whitmore stands in. He has walked and flown out to right. He takes that one low and outside. Ball one. Runner at second. Maddox with a pretty sizable lead. Huxford not concerned with him at all, as he shouldn't be. Focused completely on the batter. He delivers a strike to Whitmore. 8-1, Rockville leading in the bottom half of inning number 5. Good secondary lead by Maddox as Whitmore takes inside for ball 2. On deck, Jackson, who has a single in today's ball game. So big out to get here for Huxford. If you want to stay out of trouble, that would hit off the handle. It'll get down in foul territory on the right side for strike 2.
I was picking the pitch count. I was doing a little math as you were talking. 55 pitches through the first 4 innings, so that pretty good total to this point.
Well, barring trouble here in the 5th, you can see Huxford at least coming back out for the 6th. Pitch count-wise, as he gets his 10th strikeout, as that out pitch is really fooling the Broncos hitters. We've the last 3 or 4 strikeouts been about half, maybe 3/4 swing. He gets Whitmore on strikes for the first time today, and he's into double digits with 10 in the ballgame.
He's been very, very impressive. There were no issues. We talked about control in our pregame show, but no issues with his control at all as he struck out 10, walked just 1, has hit 1 batter. So excellent numbers. Throw behind Maddox out at second base by Rapp. Paddock comes in behind him. Throw just a little bit late as Maddox is able to go in head first to second base safely.
We talked about the movement on that out pitch from Caleb Huxford, evident in the fact that 9 of his 10 strikeouts have been swinging. He has really kept the hitters off balance. As swinging through that pitch is Jackson.
You know, after that first
strike one,
after the first inning, Scott, Daleville really put the bat on the ball there. 2 through 4 was able to score the run, and he's missed a lot of bats from that point forward.
Yeah, just 5 total hits in the ball game. As that one misses just a touch outside, it's 2-1 now to Jackson. The 2 hits in the first inning, and then nothing until the 4th, where he gave up back-to-back singles, but he also struck out the side, and then the 5th hit here in the 5th inning, where he also has 2 more strikeouts. So he's been in very little trouble since that first inning. I'm not sure where that one missed at, but it'll be 3 balls and a strike to Jackson.
The umpire indicated that it was a bit outside, but a nice breaking ball. So we don't have the advantage of having a very good angle in terms of inside and outside.
Getting into that one is Jackson. That'll get over the head of Cunningham up against the fence. The run will score. Jackson will stop at second. The 2 strikeouts and now 2 doubles given up in the inning by Huxford, and it's an 8-2 ball game. Daleville not ready to give up on their season yet, as we've seen 2 batters pretty well fooled, but 2 batters also make very good contact, as maybe the 2 hardest hit balls of the game on the Daleville side have been in this inning.
Bring T.J. Price to the plate. He has a double and an RBI and then struck out in his second trip to the plate.
So after 3 consecutive scoreless innings, Caleb Huxford has surrendered the second earned run of the ball game. It's 8-2 in favor of the Rocks. That one's in the dirt and low for ball 1. Rockville still with a 6-run lead. still be in great shape if Huckford can get out of it right here.
Yeah, you'd like to get out with no more damage. Still gives you a six-run lead heading into the final two innings.
There's a strike on the outside corner.
And I have to believe once you get into the sixth, Josh, you might see Caleb come out and start the inning. But one base runner may cause Coach Kyle to go ahead and make his pitching change.
Not sure if that was a called strike or if they call it on the swing, but either way, it'll be strike two now on T.J. Price, and it'll be a ball and two strikes. Huckford, one strike from getting out of the inning. Takes a long look back towards second. Comes set. Pitches on the way, and there it is. Strikeout number 11 for Caleb Huckford. Daleville gets a run back. They still trail it 8-2. And right now, if you're Rockville, you'll trade a run for three outs every inning we got left. Because we've got five in the books. We'll head to inning number six with Rockville coming to bat. We'll be back in 30 seconds. On True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Crown Hill Dentistry, Dr. G. Thomas Colloid and Brittany V. Gooding know that there are fears that often come between patients and the dental care needed. Fear of pain, judgment, and cost. Crown Hill Dentistry is completely committed to helping you and your family start a routine dental maintenance program today to avoid dental health issues tomorrow. Offering complete general cosmetic, sedation, and family dentistry for adults and children for over 30 years. Crown Hill Dentistry across from Walmart in Clinton.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Nope. Yep. There you go.
It's a Megan. Number 20.
Merger for Monroe.
Welcome back to Carroll High School here in Flora, Indiana. We're set to begin the sixth inning, and we'll have a hitter, number 20, Dawson Merja, will bat for Luke Monroe. So he'll see his first action
here of the second game.
Of the second game. He had a double, double back in the opener today, and we would expect to see Monroe re-enter out in left field.
And after the double, he actually replaced Merger as the runner and came around to score. Merger takes ball one on the high fastball.
8-2, Rockville with the lead. Top half of inning number six. Just six outs away from back-to-back regional championships for the Rocks. That one misses low for ball two, much to the chagrin of the Daleville crowd.
And we've seen that pitch called a strike multiple times here in this ball game. So when you're behind 8-2, it adds tendency to get you upset a little bit quicker. That was called a strike.
Inside corner, it's 2-1 now to Merja. We've mentioned it a couple times, but if Rockville can hang on here and get the final six outs, they would advance to next weekend's semi-state, which will be played at either Plymouth or Kokomo. Time to be determined. I believe those games are either at 1, 4, or 7 o'clock, depending on how the schedule around the state is set up. A lot of that has to do with travel time and who advances. So make sure you stay tuned to the WAXI Facebook page, Twitter account, and, of course, keep your radio always tuned to 104.9 WAXI for great music and the latest news and sports. As Merja fouls that one out of play left side, it'll be two balls and two strikes.
You've really got to stay back on this breaking pitch. Maddox gets ahead in the count. He has a considerable difference in speed between the fastball and the breaking pitch.
Merja hits that one hard to second, backhanded, knocked down by Stevens. He recovers and throws on to Vermillion for out number one. And I tell you what, Dawson Merja is, I don't know what, how to say it, deceptively quick. He gets up the line pretty well for a strong, stocky build that he is. As I think Stevens may have thought he had plenty of time to make that play, and just getting Merja by a step. as Cunningham stands in now. He's 1-for-2 on the day. He has a single and another hit-by-pitch to add to his total.
Scored two more runs in this contest, 4 in the first.
It's a ground ball to short. Price has it, fires, and a nice dig over his first by Vermillion. That's a couple of times we've seen him make that play. And quickly, two away in the Rocks, half of the six. But at this point, you're not all that concerned about tacking on more runs as long as you can get some rest in between innings for Huxford. I'd just like to see the game move along and allow him to stay in the groove that he's currently in. Paddock swings and misses at that one. It's 0-1. Of course, if you're Rockville, you wouldn't turn down a couple more runs. But as it starts to get cooler, you don't want to see Huxford sitting for long periods of time either, as Kyle Paddock doesn't hit that one especially hard, but hits it in the right spot, the big hole between first and second. That went off the fist for a single, and now 3-for-4 is Paddock on the ball game.
After going 3-for-3 in the opening contest, 6-for-7.
4 RBIs also on the day. It would be pretty difficult to pick out an offensive player in the game for the entire day for Rockville. They have had lots of contributions, and Kyle Paddock will easily have a two-out stolen base, and that'll be his second stolen base of the ballgame. I think he had one this morning as well. May have doubled his season total. As you mentioned, Rockville only 50-some stolen bases as a team coming into today.
And that's really a deceiving stat, Scott, because when you play in the lead as much as Rockville has over the course of the year, and you get a lead at a certain point, you don't steal to run scores up on the other teams. And Coach Kyle is very much into the ethics of baseball.
Absolutely.
And doing things the right way, and he's not going to steal somebody just to pad stats.
Yeah, you... That stolen base count certainly not indicative of the team speed of Rockville, as they have speed all over the diamond as the catcher goes out for a quick mound visit. Thank a few more of our sponsors, Rick's Auto Service in Rockville, Ferguson Chiropractic in Rockville, and Sean Lucas, Tom Stanball, and Joe Hanner from Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance in Rockville, Indiana. We thank them and all of our fine sponsors for making today's regional broadcast possible.
Another two-out RBI opportunity for Dalton Laney.
He's came through the last two times in this exact same situation. A 1-2 count right now. I can't believe that that's correct, but we'll go with it for now. A very off-speed pitch is fouled out of play by Laney as a awkward leg kick from the Daleville hurler, and that one came in there about 54 miles an hour.
And that's why you say you got to stay back on that breaking pitch, because if you get out on that front foot, you're in trouble.
A little bit more on this one, and it's roped over the second baseman's head, and Laney will have another two-out RBI. This time they'll get the ball correctly to the cutoff man and keep Laney at first base. Back-to-back-to-back two-out RBI singles. For Dalton Laney, they get the run back they gave up in the fifth inning, and it's a 9-2 Rocks lead.
Now this will bring up Craig Overpeck, the third baseman.
So it is
2-for-3 in the contest. Has an RBI, scored a run.
Dalton Laney with a pair of 3 RBI games on the day. He had just one hit this morning that drove in 3. And so far tonight, he's 3-for-4. With 3 runs driven in again. Overpeck, 2 hits on the day. This one he pops way up. The shortstop, E.J. Price, underneath it and puts it away for out number 3. But the Rocks tack on an insurance run. They're 6 outs away from a regional championship. They lead it 9-2 as we go to the bottom half of the 6th. We'll be back in 30 seconds on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for a great deal. Only Dish offers free HD for life and premium movie channels free for 3 months, including Blockbuster at home. Save a bundle when you combine DishNet high-speed internet with your TV service. Get more for less with Dish. Visit BJ's Electronics, your Dish authorized retailer, or call 800-772-2821 for details. Limited time offer. Dish TV and internet require separate 24-month commitments and credit qualifications. Cancellation fee, monthly equipment fees, auto pay with paperless billing, and other restrictions apply. DishNet not available in all areas. Call for details.
Carroll High Schoolers, we're set for the bottom of the sixth inning. We continue to have trouble hearing with the speaker right on top of us.
How about his name? Chris Kinnick.
So it will be Caleb Huxford back to the mound for Rockville to begin his sixth inning of work. Leading off for the Daleville Broncos will be the catcher, Chris Kinnick. He's 0 for 2 in the contest. Grounded out to third and struck out. He takes ball one inside. Caleb has thrown a total of 73 pitches through the first five innings.
Well, depending on how this half inning goes, as this one is hit high and deep to center, back on it is Cunningham, and he'll make the play for out number one. Good retreat by Cunningham. I was about ready to say, depending on how quickly Huxford can work through this sixth will go a long ways towards determining whether or not he gets a chance to finish this one in the seventh. He certainly would like to keep him under 100 pitches on a night like tonight, but I'm not sure how stretched out he is throughout the season.
Well, at this point in the season, I think that you have to believe he's pretty stretched out. He's logged well. Over 40 innings on the course of the year, and as we mentioned, a 6-1 record coming into the ninth contest as he jumps ahead 0-2.
And he's still very sharp and doesn't appear to have lost anything off the fastball. Barring a disastrous sixth, you got to believe Coach Kyle's going to at least give him the chance to start the seventh and finish what he started as he quickly gets a 1-2-3 strikeout of Brandon Vermillion. That'll be number 12 on the day. And 11 of those 12 strikeouts by Huxford have been swinging.
And how many of those swinging strikeouts have almost been check swings to where the batters have been fooled on the pitch? I would say close to 4 to 5 of his 12 strikeouts here in the ballgame. First pitch is taken for a ball by Stevens. Second pitch is fouled straight back, evens the count at one ball and one strike. Once again, the winner will advance to next week's semi-state. It's a two-game semi-state. The winner will represent Northern Indiana with an opportunity to advance to Victory Field. I'm sorry, one-game semi-state.
There'll be two games at each location, but they'll be from different classes. There may be a 1A game and a 4A game at either Kokomo or Plymouth, but Rockville just the rest of this one and then one more win away from a repeat trip to Victory Field, and now they're just three outs away from wrapping this one up as a slow roller to Helderman is a quick 4-3 out. It's another low pitch inning, as you got to think that Huxford's under 80 pitches after six will go to the seventh and final inning. Rockville leads it 9-2. Here on Truel, leads 104.9 WAXI.
Charlie's Place in Dana cheers for all our local high schools at tournament time. Come taste the difference with homemade pizza crust, salads, appetizers, pizzas, sandwiches, and more from the Brick Oven Bakery at Charlie's Place. Charlie's Place is also home to karaoke and live music. Entertainment starts at 6. Bring the family for dine-in and fun or call ahead for carryout. 765-665-0166. Charlie Jones is inviting everyone to his place, Charlie's Place. Open Wednesday and Thursday 4 till 10, Friday and Saturday 4 to midnight behind First Security Insurance in Dana.
When your car or truck is not running right, who do you call? Save time and money by calling Rick's Auto Service in Rockville. They are your Napa Auto Center. Rick's will fix it right the first time. From oil changes to tune-ups to complete engine or transmission replacements, Rick's Auto Service is the trusted auto center in our area. Call Rick's Auto Service today at 569-5990, located next to the IGA. Rick's Auto Service in Rockville, your Napa Service Center. Rick sells VP Racing Fuels, and Rick sells tires, too.
You're listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI Rockville Clinton, a DLC Media radio station.
Welcome back to True Oldies 104.9 WAXI's broadcast of the Rockville Regional Championship game here at Carroll High School. Tyler Rapp leads things off with his first hit of the second game. A sharp single past the second baseman and out at second will be Rapp trying to stretch it into a double. Coach Kyle not happy. I personally like the aggressiveness there of Rapp. He's seen the right fielder was kind of dogging it after that roller out into right field, just a half step away from beating it. Given the seven-run lead, I don't hate the decision by Rapp to try and make him pay, but Coach Kyle would obviously like to have that runner at first base. As we see Winston again, I believe that was Caleb Huxford fouls out to the first baseman, and there's quickly two away here for Rockville in their half of the seventh.
Wilkie back to bat here in the seventh inning.
So give Tyler Rapp a single. He has thrown out 9-6. And then the F3 for Huxford brings Wilkie up. He hits it high in the air out to right and making a diving slash falling play out there is the right fielder. Nice play by him. 1-2-3 quickly go the rocks in their half of the seventh. Caleb Huxford three outs away from a complete game victory that would send Rockville to the semi-state for the second consecutive season. We'll come back with the bottom half of inning number 7 here in 30 seconds on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Let's talk trash. Have you noticed some trash services bait you with an introductory low price, then a bill or two later, their prices hit the roof? Park County natives Jack and Joetta Scanlon have created Jack's Trash Service. Call today and save cash on your trash. Look for the big green trucks in your neighborhood. Call Jack's Trash Service now. 765-653-2838. Jack's Trash Service in Greencastle.
Welcome back to True Oldies 104.9 WAXI Rockville, three outs away from closing this one out and taking home their second consecutive regional crown. A few more sponsors we'd like to thank: Rockville and Clinton IGA Sports, Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Greg Harbison in Clinton, the Park County REMC, and the Fountain Trust Company. We thank them for their valuable support of high school athletics here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI. Huxford goes to work, gets a slow roller to third. Overpeck has it, fires across the diamond, one away, and Rockville two outs away from celebration.
Now batting, number 8, Wes Bibben.
The number 9 hitter, Wes Bibben, now comes to the plate. He has struck out twice in the ballgame. Huxford sitting on 12 strikeouts for the game. I'd love to see him add a couple more just for the heck of it.
you've got to like not only 12 strikeouts, Scott, but has walked just one batter here tonight. Just been very, very dominant.
He walked the second batter of the ball game and has not allowed a free pass since.
Bibbin has yet to put the bat on the ball, as he has struck out in his only two plate appearances.
And he's in a quick 0-2 hole here. As I'm sure Huxford will be given quite a bit of rope to finish this one out with a 7-run lead and a pretty low pitch count through six innings plus. Wastes that one outside, and it's a ball and two strikes.
He's right at 85 pitches to this point of the ball game.
And there is a nasty curveball that catches the inside corner. That's strikeout number 13. That is the first strikeout looking since the very first batter of the ball game. Huxford has 13 Ks. The first one and the 13th caught the batters off pace. All 11 in between there were swinging strikeouts. And there is a foul ball out of play, right side. Two strikes away from a regional championship are the Rocks. Leadoff hitter, Corbin Maddox is at the plate. He has two strikeouts and a double on his evening. The 0-1 pitch, another nasty curveball. Had Maddox bailing out of there, comes back to catch the inside corner, and Rockville's a pitch away from a regional crown. The 0-2 pitch, swung on and missed, strikeout number 14 for Huxford, and Rockville is back-to-back regional champions. They will play next Saturday for a semi-state title, and they're one win away from a second consecutive trip to Victory Field and playing for a state title. Rockville puts this one away 9-2. We'll be back to wrap it up in 60 seconds here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Sean Lucas, Tom Stanball, and Joe Hanner of Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance in Rockville hope you'll join them in cheering on the Rocks. As an active member of the community, Farm Bureau Insurance is proud supporters of high school athletics and is sending best wishes to the Rockville Rocks baseball team. Good coverage doesn't have to cost more. Stop by and see Sean, Tom, and Joe at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, Highway 41 North in Rockville. Stop knocking on wood.
Teams and coaches know it takes hard work to reach their goals. This applies not only to baseball, but to personal finance as well. Hi, this is Greg Harbison with Edward Jones. You work hard for your money, and you deserve to have a portfolio that works as hard as you do. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me at 765-832-3644 or stop by my office in Clinton to set up a portfolio review. I can help you work towards your financial goals. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
You are listening to Class A Regional Baseball Action on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI and online at TrueOldiesWAXI.com.
Welcome back to the WAXI post-game show, where we have seen the Rockville Rocks defeat Daleville by the score of 9-2. They win their second consecutive regional championship. They improved to 26-6 on the season, while the Daleville Broncos conclude a very fine 2015 at 16-12 and a berth in the regional championship game, but just not enough to stay with the very powerful Rockville offense. And they caught Caleb Huxford on the wrong day as he strikes out 14 Broncos in a dominant performance. And that's as good as you've seen him throw all year. He had control from start to finish and just a brilliant performance on the mound in a huge situation.
Well, an outstanding job. And he really stepped up at a venue that doesn't present itself very often in the championship game of the regional here at Carroll High School. Caleb Huxford stat lines, 7 innings, 14 Ks, just one base on balls. He gave up 6 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned, and he hit one batter. He was right at 90 pitches for the ball game. So any questions that people had about the number two pitcher on this Rockville club, found out tonight what they're capable of. And we've seen two pitchers go the distance here for Rockville today, Scott. Both are juniors and will return for one more year. So would not be surprised. Rockville, once again, probably will be the favorite to repeat, although we'll see how things play out. If they advance to the state finals, there's a possibility they may have to bump up to the 2A. For this Daleville Ball Club, you got to tip your cap. What looked like after one inning, Rockville was going to have their hands full, but they answered the bell when needed. But this Daleville Ball Club, a lot of underclassmen, so they'll have a very good nucleus returning. Would not be surprised to see this team back again next year here at Carroll High School for a regional.
Yeah, absolutely. Daleville's a very young, very talented team. They had a great season. Congratulations to them. But Rockville, no offense to the seniors that they have. They're outstanding players. They're very valuable members of this baseball team. But this is a Rockville team that's just going to get better next year. You mentioned the number one and number two pitchers for them, just juniors. They have a very nice eighth grade class that will be coming in to join this ball club next year. And, you know, you don't want to worry about next season, yeah, because Rockville still has a lot of exciting things to accomplish this year. But what a testament to a deep pitching staff this Rockville team has been the last couple of years. You know, at the 1A level, it's easy to have an ace. Not everybody has an ace the caliber of a Dalton Laney, who's a Division I caliber pitcher, but everybody's got a guy that they can throw out there and have confidence in being able to beat anybody on any given day. But we've seen Rockville, the key to getting where they are as a program the last handful of seasons has been that number two guy, the Dalton Clarks last year, the Caleb Huxford slash Craig Opex slash Ben Cunningham this year, whoever you want to say your number two is. You've got three guys that could make a legitimate claim for that title. But you know, that's what wins regional championships. When you get to this point in the season, now you kind of rely on, you put it on the shoulders of Dalton Laney, and you've got a lot of bullpen help because it's just one game a week. So you just need one guy. And you've got a lot of guys that can come in and get out here and there depending on specific situations. But to get to this point in the season, you got to have that number two. And Rockville has had that quality number two the last few seasons. And that's why they have won this regional. We've seen awfully good teams in this regional. Frontier, number one in the state last year, didn't have enough pitching to win two games in one day. Daleville, very good team this year, didn't have enough pitching to win two games in one day. It's been that depth of pitching that Rockville has that has allowed them to keep putting those little plaques on top of that sectional championship trophy. You don't get an entirely new trophy for winning a regional. You get those plaques. And that's what people talk about, having outstanding programs. Yeah, those trophies are nice. But what you love is those little plaques that you put over the top of them that tell you that you're taking more than one step each season in the state tournament. And now for two straight years, Rockville is going to the semi-state.
You know, and we sit here and we talk about the number two pitcher for Rockville. But Caleb Huxford clearly pitched as a number one pitcher tonight. You put him on either of the three teams that played here today, and he's the number one pitcher on that team, and I'm sure that that's the case for the majority of the teams that Rockville played throughout the season, especially single A and 2A baseball teams. And you take a look at this lineup, Rockville starts five seniors and four juniors, and as you mentioned, basically the three starting pitchers, the top three starting pitchers will return next year, but we're a little bit premature right now in talking about next year, Scott, because there's still a lot of work to do for this Rockville Ball Club. They advance to next week's semi-state. It will be two teams and just one game to advance to Victory Field once again. At this point, we're not sure who they will play. The highest-ranked team that is left in the North playing at Caston today is North White, who upset the number one team in the state, Pioneer. So obviously they have a very good ball club, but the Rockville Rocks continue to roll, as you said, 26-6 as they head in to next week's semi-state.
Well, you know, I go by the philosophy that the championship belongs to the Shaq Mac Lakers until somebody beats them, because they were the champion last year, and they'll be the champion until somebody ends their season by beating them. But philosophically, the favorite coming into this year throughout the state at the 1A level was the Rockville Rocks. I think they're probably the highest-rated team left in the tournament.
They are.
At this point. They were number two a lot of the year. And, you know, you've got to like their chances at this point. You've still got to take care of business and get two more wins, but you can only do that one step at a time. One of those steps will occur a week from today, either at Plymouth or Kokomo. We do not know which location, and we do not know what time. But as I said earlier, the WAXI Facebook page and Twitter account will keep you up to date as soon as that announcement is made by the IHSAA. That will be done mid-morning tomorrow, once all the results from across the state today come in. The committee will decide exactly where teams will be placed and what time the games will be played. And obviously throughout the week, an announcement will be made on WAXI as well. So make sure you keep your radio there for the latest information on when and where Rockville will play their semi-state. We have a lot of stats to go over from the ball game, as once again, Rockville puts a 9 spot on the board. They score 19 runs in 2 games today, so a lot of big contributions to talk about. We'll take a break and come back and go through the Rockville hitting statistics here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Dr. John Ferguson and the staff at Ferguson Chiropractic Center are proud to sponsor local high school sports. For over 30 years, Ferguson Chiropractic Center has been providing quality, affordable, safe, and effective chiropractic care to the people of West Central Indiana and East Central Illinois. Caring for you and your family is Ferguson Chiropractic Center's top priority. Get well and stay well with Ferguson Chiropractic Center care. Ferguson Chiropractic Center, located in Rockville on U.S. Highway 36.
Quality service and family-oriented since 1931. Mike's Motors in Clinton is here to stay, giving Vermilion Park, Vigo, Clay, and surrounding counties excellent service and award-winning customer satisfaction, offering a wide selection of vehicles featuring Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. GM Alan Cobb and sales manager Mike Shake have all the answers about inventory, service, parts, financing, and more. Stop by today or call 832-2411. Hit a home run every time with Mike's Motor Company across the River Bridge in Clinton or online at mikesmotor.net.
Welcome back to the WAXI postgame show, as Rockville wins this one 9-2 over the Daleville Broncos. Rockville now 26-6 on the season. They will play next week in the 1A North semi-state. As we mentioned, we have no idea at this point who their opponent would be. The four possibilities: Washington Township, North White, Fort Wayne Blackhawk, or Triton. If you look at the stats on paper, you would think North White would be the favorite to come out of that regional. But I remember Coach Kyle telling us that very same thing a year ago, and it wound up being Washington Township that came out of that regional with a record that wasn't quite as good as everybody else, and that's who Rockville had to face in last year's semi-state at Kokomo. So we'll once we get back to where we have a good cell phone signal, we'll be able to track down some scores, and we'll know who Rockville's opponent will be. We just won't know what time or what location it will be till tomorrow morning. But let's take a look at the Rockville hitting statistics, as well as the fabulous pitching line once again from Caleb Uxford.
Let's take a look at inning by inning. Rockville trailed at the end of 1-0. They tied the ball game in the second with a single run, 2 runs in the third, still a 2-run lead. They tacked on 5 in the fourth to build an 8-1 lead. Caleb gave up his second run of the ball game in the bottom of the fifth, and then Rockville adds 1 in the sixth for a final score of 9-2. Rockville's line, 9 runs, 12 hits, no errors in the ball game. Daleville, 2 runs, 6 hits, and 2 errors. Hitting tonight for Rockville, Cunningham in that leadoff spot. three at-bats, one hit, scored two runs. Kyle Paddock with his second three-hit game of the day as he goes 3 for 4, scores three runs, drives in two. Dalton Laney, also 3 of 4, scores one run, drives in three runs. All three of those runs are scored, or driven in with two outs. Craig Overpeck, 2 of 4, scores a run, drives in a run. Tyler Rapp, 1 of 4. Caleb Huxford helps himself at the plate as he goes 2 for 4, scores one run. Keontre Wilkie, 0 for 2, scores a run, has one RBI. Keegan Winsett in a pitch hitting row goes 0 for 1. Cam Helderman, 0 for 3, does drive in one run in the ball game. Luke Monroe, 0 for 2, and Dawson Merja, 0 for 1. Stat lines on our pitcher, Caleb Huxford. 7 innings, 14 strikeouts, 1 base on ball, 1 hit by pitch. He gives up 6 hits in the ball game and 2 runs, both of those earned. He runs his record to 7-1 on the year.
All right, so an outstanding contribution from the top to the bottom of the Rockville lineup once again, and just a dominant pitching performance out of Caleb Huxford. We mentioned it a couple of different times, but out of the 14 strikeouts, 12 of them were swinging, which showed you just how much he had those Daleville hitters guessing throughout the ball game. So this is a little bit different team from last year, are the Rockville Rocks, as I think last year they really, really relied on the arm of Dalton Laney and Dalton Clark, won a lot of low-scoring games, and once they got deeper into the tournament, you kind of felt like they needed to win that 2-1, 3-2 type ball game. I think this year a little bit more balanced, a little bit more offense for this Rockville squad, as the guys they got back have matured a little bit at the plate. Not that they have given up a lot of runs, but I think they probably feel like they can win some 6-4, 7-4 type games, even against high quality competition deep in the tournament, because well over 270 runs scored now on the season, and just a well-balanced, outstanding baseball team. Rockville now consecutive regional championships, and they will play next Saturday with a trip to Victory Field on the line. A couple more sponsors we'd like to thank: BJ's Electronics in Rockville, Mike's Motor Company in Clinton, the Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company, Crown Hill Dentistry in Clinton, and Jack's Trash Service in Greencastle. We'll take one final timeout as we're trying to get Coach Kyle to come over and talk to us for a few minutes, but we've lost track of him. We're going to make one more effort to get him over here, but we'll go ahead and take a 60-second timeout. We'll come back, wrap up our broadcast, pass along a few other scores from the other regional championship game of Wabash Valley interest going on tonight, and then we'll wrap things up here from Carroll High School on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.
Hi, I'm Doug Weisheit, Vice President at the Fountain Trust Company. We at the Fountain Trust Company at the Rockville IJ Banking Center now have 2 loan officers to work with you and your loan needs. R.J. Mahern and I are dedicated to working with local families to finance your truck, tractor, farm, or home. The Fountain Trust Company is a local bank with local lending staff helping local people. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. The Fountain Trust Company is ready to make your lending needs come true. FountainTrust.com.
Hi, I'm Bill. But thanks to my electric co-op, I'm also known as
Captain Cost Cutter.
Every time I change out my
air filter
or
the insulator
when adding insulation in my attic. My electric co-op helps me use energy wisely and save money. So I guess you could just call me Energy Bill.
Lower energy bill.
Learn more about the power of your co-op membership at togetherwesave.com.
Park County REMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative. Visit them online at pcremc.com.
Well, welcome back one final time to Carroll High School here in Flora, Indiana. We would be remiss if we did not thank Carroll High School for their outstanding hospitality, as they have been great hosts this year, just as they were a year ago. Anything we have needed, they have been right there to provide for us. So we certainly want to thank them for the opportunity to broadcast two good Rocks wins today, and thank them for everything they did putting on a fantastic regional tournament. So a shout out to Carroll High School for another job well done. Speaking of a job well done, we are now joined by the head coach of the back-to-back regional champion Rockville Rocks, Coach Bobby Kyle. Coach Kyle, I'm sure it looks a lot easier on the scoreboard than it was today, a combined 19-2 set of victories, 10-0 this morning, 9-2 in the nightcap. First off, I want to talk about the performance of Caleb Huxford and what is it that you saw from your perspective. We looked at the stat line, 14 strikeouts for Huxford, the first strikeout looking, the 13th strikeout looking, 11 of them in between were swinging, and they were all half swings. That 14th strikeout was a half swing. What pitch was that? What was he going to keep those guys off balance? And it just looked like he had them confused all night.
Once he got ahead of the hitters with his fastball, that curve, his curveball is as nasty as anybody you'll see. And if he can throw it in the strike zone, we were just calling for it down the middle. We weren't trying to move it outside away from the hitters. We were trying to throw it in the strike zone, because we felt like, you know, they just couldn't hit it. And he throws pretty hard, so you got to protect a little bit against that fastball. And once he started getting ahead of the hitters in about the third inning, then he was pretty solid.
So it's very tough to single out guys offensively, because you got contributions from so many different guys today in the lineup. But obviously a couple guys that stand out, Kyle Paddock, Dalton Laney, with huge days. Kyle Paddock 6-for-7 over the two games today, 4 RBIs. Dalton Laney with 6 RBIs over the two games today. But the thing that was impressive to us, especially this morning with Dalton Laney on the mound, a lot of times teams, when they get an early lead and they have that stud on the mound, they tend to relax. You get a couple runs early, and you never add to it. But today you guys kept piling on runs, attacking on runs, and you kept the offensive pressure on, and you did the same thing tonight in the nightcap. You didn't relax, and you kept that lineup turning over and turning over. What was the approach today at the plate that kept everybody aggressive, and you kept, you know, tacking runs on inning for inning?
Well, we knew the kid this morning threw hard. We had 115 strikeouts in 70 innings coming in, so we knew he threw hard. We knew he had, you know, some good off-speed stuff, so we wanted to make sure we attacked the fastball, because we feel we're better at hitting speed than we are at the soft stuff. This evening, we knew they wouldn't throw as hard, and first three batters, as you can see, we had three pop-ups, which wasn't good. The later we started putting ball in play on line drives, ground balls, we probably had 4 or 5 base hits between third and shortstop. And then every time they would make a throw to the plate, we'd take the extra base, and then we'd get another base hit in the hole, and we'd take the extra base, and it was, you know, just like a carousel going around there. And they're very aware of watching for the throw, and if it clears the cutoff man, they're going to the next base, and they do a good job about it.
Well, and it was good recognition, as you said, as Daleville threw the ball to the wrong place multiple times, allowed you to continue to get people that got base hits into scoring positions. And how about your 2-out hits today? You scored a ton of runs with 2 outs. And obviously, at this level, you're not able to scout the way they are at other levels. But Laney comes through with 3 2-out singles for 3 RBIs with a base open. Obviously, they don't know him very well.
Yeah, the scouting would have told him to probably put him on, but he's followed by a pretty good hitter in Craig Ovefeck, so they're not going to just jump out of the frying pan real easy there. If Dalton, he's not one of these kids that backs off. You know, you talk about with a 3-run lead, 4-run lead, 10-run lead when he's pitching, you know, he's not backing off, and I think you saw it this morning when they got bases loaded, no be out, and he struck out the next three guys, and you know, with Caleb the second game, we had really good pitching today and timely hitting, and the defense was pretty solid.
I didn't have you for an error the whole day long.
I don't think so.
So I think you're exactly right. It's a combination of putting all three things together at one time. Real quick, right now we don't know who you play unless maybe you do.
Washington Township.
Washington Township. So that's a repeat of last year's semi-state.
We don't know whether it'll be at Kokomo or at Plymouth.
Okay.
real quick, how do you approach next week in terms of practices and preparing for Washington Township?
We'll do the same thing we've done every week. We'll practice Monday, Tuesday, give them Wednesday off, practice Thursday, Friday. We'll get on. I'll see if I know anybody that's played them, that they can give me some scouting reports. You know, we'll try to find out who their good hitters are, if they got left-handed hitters, right-handed hitters, their pitchers. You know, I don't know if they got kids returning from last year. I'm sure they got some, or they, you know, they wouldn't be back. So we'll already have that scouting report a little bit. But, you know, you can do all the scouting you want, but if you don't execute, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, congratulations once again on this regional championship back-to-back. You move on to semi-state, and I think that going into sectional, being the heavy favorite, probably a little bit more pressure in that sectional. I think the kids relaxed a little bit today. It appeared to us that you had a whole lot of fun out there. So congratulations, and we'll look forward to covering you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to take any more commercial breaks or just wrap things up? Okay, we'll go ahead and take one more commercial break. We come back, we'll wrap things up here from Carroll High School. Once again, regional championship, Rockville Rocks over the Daleville Broncos, 9-2 here on the True Oldies, 104.9 WAXI.
Build tomorrow's technology today with Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company. We have the technology to provide our customers with quality home telephone service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No dropped calls, no relying on towers and batteries. Plus, Bloomingdale Home Telephone Company is a true local internet service provider with a local technical support team available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Find out more. Bloomingdale Home Telephone, 498-2000.
Shine up your ride and show your pride at the ball game. Joe and Kathy Hawkins of Hawkins Car Wash behind Fifth Third Bank in Rockville hope you'll join in the excitement and show your spirit for your favorite players and team. Our young athletes work hard, and Joe and Kathy Hawkins are proud to be a sponsor of local high school sports. Hawkins Car Wash, cheering all area teams and sending big congratulations win or lose. Hawkins Car Wash, keeping it clean behind Fifth Third Bank in Rockville.
Well, this time we are welcoming you back to Carroll High School for one last time, but you never want to pass up an opportunity to learn a little bit of baseball from Coach Bob Kyle, as he is one of the great baseball men in the Wabash Valley, not only from a coaching perspective, but just a high-class, high-character guy that you couldn't ask for a better role model for your son to play for. And certainly want to congratulate him on another regional championship, a trip back to the semi-state next week where they will take on Washington Township. And this is not official, but looking at everything, I really can't see a scenario where those two teams would match up again and it not be a Kokomo. But when it comes to the IHSAA, you never know. So you don't want to take that as gospel. Still wait for official word. Plymouth, Kokomo could both be options. We're about ready to wrap up the broadcast, but we did get some other scores. I want to thank Rick Simler from WTHI for passing on other local scores of interest. Final score, Shackamack, the Lakers, win 6-0 over Greenwood Christian Academy. A pair of 6-0 shutout wins on the day for Shackamack, so they advance once again to the semi-state. That appears to just be habit there in Greene County for the Lakers. West Vigo, the Vikings in the regional championship tonight, they hold a slim 4-3 advantage over New Palestine in the sixth inning. So West Vigo up 4-3 in the sixth. Terre Haute North, they're in the driver's seat in their regional championship game. They're ahead 9-2 in the sixth inning. So North up big on Pendleton Heights. Pretty good chance right now. Looks like we may have four Valley teams playing at the semi-state level 1 week from today. And one big softball game in the Wabash Valley today. North Central High School of Farmersburg, they are semi-state champions. They win tonight's championship game over Monrovia by a score of 1-0. Caitlin Kennedy, the standout player for North Central of Farmersburg, not only does she throw a shutout in the semi-state title game, but she hits a solo home run as well. She does all the work for her school. She hits a home run to account for the only run in the ball game and tosses a shutout in the circle as well. So North Central will advance to the state championship game at Carmel's Cherry Tree Complex 1 week from today. So congratulations to Coach Erica Arnold and the North Central Lady T-Birds. So a lot of success around the Wabash Valley, an area known for their standout baseball and softball talent this year. No different, Jim.
No, it's been an outstanding day around the Wabash Valley, and look forward to a little more success next weekend.
Absolutely. We will be with you about 20 minutes prior to the first pitch. We don't know when that will be, but we know Rockville will once again match up with Washington Township 1 week from today, either at Kokomo or Plymouth High School. Kokomo has a brand-new, beautiful baseball complex, a $12 million baseball stadium that they built to attract a prospect league team, the Kokomo Jackrabbits. I do not know if the semi-state would be played there, but if the semi-state is in the city of Kokomo and you plan to travel there, you'll want to make sure that you know exactly where the location is being played. Last year it was at the old park downtown. It could be there again. It could be at the new complex, so make sure you get that information as well. But a great day of baseball. Congratulations again to the Rockville Rocks Regional Champions. I want to thank Jim Foster for being my broadcast partner today. Thanks to Jim Osborne and Renee Lyle, great engineers back in the studio. And we will talk to you 1 week from today as a trip to Victory Field will be on the line for the Rockville Rocks, and you can hear it all right here on True Oldies 104.9 WAXI.